This is PFW in progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet. Da 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 da.
PFW in progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring.
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's groove tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy. Dre. Biggie, Huffman.
And Andy.
Coolio. The whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. I think I'll sing it again. Shabang, shabop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name isn't...
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are going to Super Bowl 42. Going to Arizona, baby. We've been talking about it all year, but now it's finally here. It's come true. All those people who went out on a limb in week two and said that the Patriots would go 16-0 and beyond are right, but it's here. It's amazing. It's hard to believe that it actually happened, and now we are a couple weeks away from Super Bowl 42, the New England Patriots against, of all teams, the New York Giants.
We knew they'd be there. We just didn't know Matt Castle would be leading them onto the field.
I also didn't think it would be against the Giants.
No. That's true.
I think that's a major, major story.
Neither did Tom Coughlin or Eli Manning or any of those people that would have been out.
Even when the Giants played such a great game that last regular season game, did any? I mean,
well, it's
did
I didn't.
It, did
I didn't
it flick through
no,
your mind.
I didn't think they would. But remember, Fred, when I came in the bus and I said I'd never seen a losing locker room so happy in my life.
Right.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was almost surreal. Like they had really done something, and apparently they just rode that emotion all the way through the playoffs.
Because they must have spun it as we just played neck and neck with the best team in football. There's no one in the NFC like that.
Right. Let them by 12 points.
And, so, you know, they clearly built upon that. And
well, we're going to talk a lot. We've got 2 weeks, just so everybody knows right off the top. It's our normal schedule this week, 12 to 2. We'll be leaving for Arizona on Sunday. These guys will be arriving on Sunday. I have to go a day early to make sure everything's
okay. You're leaving early with Chris Ferrer.
Yeah, go with Chris. Right.
But they'll be there Sunday. Monday, they'll have a Patriots Monday, as they normally do. And then on Tuesday through Friday, we'll have our shows, except the time will be changed. Of course, there's a two-hour difference there. So it looks like we'll do it from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock Arizona time.
So four to
figure
six
it out.
Eastern
time, that would be
so
4 to 6. You know?
I thought I would tell him. Fred's just like, figure it out.
Figure it out on your own.
We don't have just listeners from the East Coast. We have people from all over the world. So Arizona time, which I don't know, what is it, Central Mountain time?
It's Mountain.
Mountain time.
But they also have that thing where they don't do the
yeah,
daylight
one of them,
savings or whatever.
Right, because there are times that we've been in Arizona and it's 3 hour difference from
right
there.
It's all
but,
screwed up.
But we will be doing it 2 to 4 local time, which is 4 to 6 Eastern time, and I don't know, Greenwich Mean Time, I don't know what that is.
And
but
download it on your own time.
Right, download it whenever you can. So
we should be full of life.
Very excited.
This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Download the podcast now.
Okay.
Now. So John will be there.
He was here this week, played a big part.
Yeah.
Gave the trophy.
The Lamar Hunt trophy with Andre Tippett. Right. So it's going to be quite a couple weeks here. We've got a lot in store for the show. We've got a lot in store for Patriots.com.
Okay, can we get to the Brady thing?
Well, we will in a minute.
It's kind of big news. They're leading off with it at every newspaper and TV in the country.
Actually, it's not that big news, but
It really isn't that big.
Yeah.
But it is big.
But
it's on TMZ. That's
right.
Like it's Brittany and Brady.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The gang's all here. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your emails. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I noticed Gary or Dan put up bigger signs for me.
That's because they took them down when Jonathan was in here last week to do Felger's show.
Why did they have to take them down?
Well, he took everything down.
No, it was just they were all kind of ratty, so I made them.
Oh, I thought you took them down for Jonathan with the other stuff you took down.
The only thing I took down for Jonathan was Craig.
Yeah, but you also didn't take down, like, the half-nude female reporters we got over here, the Shaughnessy caricature that he stopped and talked about mid-answer at one point.
So I took everything down, but then apparently I didn't take anything down.
So you only took
Jonathan
one thing down.
Jonathan asked you to take Craig down?
No, I just did that because...
Why? What's wrong with Craig? You didn't take George Martelli down. Is that his name?
George Martelli, yeah.
Heat Miser?
Anyway, that's the kind of minutiae that you only get on PFW in Progress.
Where we don't talk about Brady.
All right, let's talk about Brady.
Yeah, Andy,
what do you want to talk about?
He's in a boot. He's everywhere. Every newspaper has got the photo. New York Post says, who's afraid of Tom Brady now? Girly man limps home. Boston Herald front page, uh-oh. TMZ.com, a celebrity.
ESPN News.
ESPN News. I'm watching the video on NFL Network, courtesy of TMZ. It's everywhere. Tom Brady limping into Giselle's apartment, carrying flowers and a duffel bag. And the bottom line is, I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay. That's the only question.
But we got to play the hype game like everybody else. That's how this industry works, Paul. Hype things. Hype, hype, hype.
Well, it would be interesting.
I'd rather hype things that... you know, have to do with the game. I don't. Really
this stuff, if he doesn't
really
play, you don't think it's a big deal if Matt Cassel's under center?
Do you think there's even a 1% chance that he doesn't play because of this?
No.
Okay.
No, he's going to play, but does he have some kind of injury?
What if he's limited? What if he gets hit the first play like LT and has to go
out?
He
wasn't himself. We all saw it. I thought he was sick. It looked like he was sick to me. But he didn't look like himself out there. Did he injure himself? Did he have some kind of... anything wrong with his foot there, Fred? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, at one point, CBS had the camera, and the doctors were looking at his foot on the sideline, but I'm not sure. When was that? Does anyone know?
No.
That was in the fourth quarter, I believe.
In the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't explain the interceptions because they all came before that, right? So, yeah.
I don't know exactly how it affected him, but
yeah, I don't
he was
think
limping after the game. Everybody noticed at the podium when he left the podium. He had a questionable game, and now he's in a boot. So there's, you know, a few factors coming together.
Now, a boot wouldn't be for a turned ankle, right?
It could be for anything.
It could be for
all
anything.
All it does is immobilize it to enhance the recovery.
But if you had a sprained ankle, you'd be on crutches because you want to put weight off it completely.
Probably, but it can be absolutely anything. The idea is so that you don't move it and make it any worse so that it gives it a chance to be totally still and heal.
Okay.
46 so, states for the Patriots in one of those Sports Nation polls for the...
I would imagine that, you know, it's precautionary. I'm sure he probably had a little turn of his ankle or something
Indiana
like that.
Indiana hasn't decided yet.
He's fine. But on the phone right now is today's lunch benefactor, John Silva. John,
woo-hoo!
Thank you so much for providing our repast today. John?
Are you chewing on the phone?
John. Okay.
Well, thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
I already downed my sandwich.
What did I get? What?
Nothing.
I didn't get anything.
It's right here.
Yours.
Fred,
what is yours?
I don't know.
Okay, John, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. What's going on,
hey,
guys?
John, thanks for lunch.
Woohoo!
Absolutely no problem.
So what's up, John?
Hey, I do have one question. How do we sign Asante Samuel and Randy Moss for next year?
Okay, that's a good question. I mean,
pay a lot of money.
First of all, you got to remember that the salary cap's going to go up probably significantly.
Yes.
Second of all,
I think it goes up to 116 next
right.
year.
Second of all,
and we
right
lose
now,
money for Rosie Colvin.
Yeah, right now they've got Samuel under the cap at what, $8 million because if he's under the franchise tag. If they can fit that, they can certainly give him a new contract and fit him next year. The question is, how much more will Randy Moss want?
Well, and they're two very different kinds of deals, too, Fred. I think you're right, because with Samuel, you're trying to decide whether or not you're going to invest a long-term big money deal. With Moss, well, I think it has the potential to be big money. I'm not so sure how long-term it's going to be. So you might have to have a bigger cap number for Moss than you will for Samuel, because the way, depending on how you spread it out and structure it, you could actually get something lower than that $8 million that Fred just talked about with Samuel. So it's possible. The question is, do the Patriots want to invest long-term in Samuel? I think we all kind of think that they should.
Moss
think,
still scares me a little bit, though.
Moss worries me a little bit, too, in the last month or
we
so.
We said, and plus, they're still winning, and he's worrying us. We said, well, let's see how he acts, you know, when they lose. They didn't lose. They won every game. You know, this was like the perfect season to have Randy Moss. It still worries me a little bit if you give him big money in you know, a couple years. Because I just think guys like that, and he's done nothing here at all. He's been fine. He's been a perfect Patriot.
Right.
But I think guys like that get bored awfully quick. And you see it all the time. And if they run into a little patch, he worries me.
Plus, what is he going for? I mean, they go 19-0. He had a great year. He broke the records. What is the carrot dangling in front of him to keep him motivated, mature, focused?
Because he needs something all, like
right.
that.
And they,
he's not Brady.
I don't see that there'd
right.
be anything.
And the worry, John, I think that we would have is not that – because I think Tom's right. He was perfect. He was the perfect Patriot this year. But does he now say, okay, I did that. I subjugated myself, my ego, and I did what I played the team role. Now give me my money. How much money is he looking for? And I don't know. Maybe he doesn't care about that at all. Maybe he just wants to stay with Brady and keep putting up these ridiculous numbers. And if that's the case, then great. They can get him for similar money than they have him for now. But I got to think he's going to want more.
And that's why our little make-believe scenario of him going to Indianapolis would make sense, because then he can prove it's me. I can take any offense and take it from good or great to ridiculous, historic.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that.
What do you mean?
Good luck with what?
I don't see that. I don't see how that works.
Why not?
Why, Marvin Harrison might never play
done,
again.
They might want a number one receiver.
They win with offense. They don't win with going out signing defensive players. They win by putting their money in offense.
Yeah, but you have to play some defense in order for that equation to work. And then if you throw him in there and say he doesn't go there for $1 million, how does that work?
I don't know what you're saying.
It did allow the fewest points in football this year.
Yeah, but I'm saying you have to play some defense, and if you sign him, you're going to be taking
right.
money away from the
Indianapolis did allow
defense.
The fewest points in football
but
this
they're not
year.
Going to lose anybody
they,
on
they
defense.
They did play some defense.
Right.
Well, they already signed Sanders.
And they're going to get Freeney back, you know, should be healthy. They have yeah. defense that made plays this
Their
year.
Their defense, while I think is a little bit overrated, you certainly
it
can't.
Is.
But you can't
but
say
it's
you can't
not
say
the
they
old
don't play
Colts
defense.
Defense.
You can't say they don't play
saying,
defense in Indianapolis. They do.
I'm just saying you're taking money away from defense if you sign him, because I don't think he's going to go there. Indy's not going to get the sweetheart deal that we got this year.
I know, but if you're Irsay, you're opening up a new stadium.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You got to sell these. I don't know if they're doing premium seats or not, or PSLs, but I think they are doing PSLs. You got to sell those things, and I know they're not.
Now
sold
he's not
yet.
Going. I mean, this is just
right,
kind
this
of
is
a
little fantasy,
but in that fantasy
but they,
world,
but he could go.
Yeah,
I mean, let's dismiss the fact that it's impossible.
But would you guys, if Marvin Harrison can't play anymore, would you guys be shocked if the Colts made a run at him if he was
nope,
on the market? Because
nope,
I wouldn't be.
Not at all.
No, I agree. To be honest with you, I think that Samuel is the more important one.
I do too. I do too, because
Randall
I think that you have a great offense. I don't think you have a great defense.
And you're talking about a guy that you'd have for the next 6 to 10 years as
and
a potential shutdown corner.
And don't they have to
corner.
Figure out Will Fort, too?
Well, they don't have to.
Soon.
Right.
He's on the horizon.
Yeah.
And they're going to be signing Greg Ellis, so, I mean, a lot of things going
terrified.
On.
Can you imagine Randall Gay and Ellis Hobbs as your starting corner?
Well, that's
nope.
not going to happen.
That can't happen.
That won't.
Oh
Bill won't
God.
Let that happen.
You could have the greatest pass rush in the history of the world and still get beat by 30 every week with those two.
Yep. I agree. That can't happen. You can't see that as your lineup.
Yeah, so to me, Asante Samuel has to get signed just by fear.
Yeah, but the price tag could be ridiculous for Asante Samuel as a young, developing, stud all-pro cornerback.
That's what he's out of the great time.
So you're basically willing to just write a check and tell Asante fill it in?
I guess there's got to be some parameters to it, but for the most part, yeah, I mean, you're going to get some money back from Roosevelt Colvin because there's no way his cap numbers stay in the same next
right.
year.
Yeah, money's not an issue. You can do any deal you want,
since
basically.
They have plenty of money.
But the question is, you said there needs to be, what was the word you just used, parameters or whatever?
To me, he's going to get $20 million up front. I don't think that that's even
but
a
But there might be another team that has 30 waiting for him.
And the question is, do the Patriots, are they willing, do they put a value that has that amount of money on Samuel? We all think that. We all know that he's going to get it somewhere. But do the Patriots say, you know, just because he's going to get it doesn't mean that we think he's worth it, and they won't do it.
And this is not a Dallas Thomas
yeah.
Roosevelt Colvin where he's going to say, you know what, I'm not going to visit San Francisco. I'm going to leave money in Arizona.
Right, this will be
wants to get paid.
This will be his third ring, right? Second or third?
Third.
Third ring, undefeated season. Now, this is all about the money with him. I mean, he's got the rings. He's got everything. So we're talking about Moss. Samuel, I think, is even worse in that aspect because he wants his money now.
Well, it goes back to the conversation you guys hate having. When's enough enough? I mean, you know, he's going to get $50-60 million from the Patriots that he's probably going to see, although it's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
He's going to get the vast majority of that money. But they're not going to cut Asante Samuel in 3 years.
But what he's going to want, because he got some money this year, but what he wants now is big money over a long period of time. That's what you're looking for now.
Why are we assuming the Patriots are going to give him $50 or $60 million?
I don't think they
will. Well, if they don't give him $50 or $60 million, you're not going to sign them.
But I understand that. But why are we assuming that they're going to offer it to him? I'm not sure of that. I don't really know what value they place on him. I know last year he was a free agent coming off of a great year, and they didn't really offer him anywhere near that kind of money. So I'm not convinced.
They didn't have to. They could franchise him and give him $8 million and sit and wait.
They can't franchise him. They agreed that they wouldn't.
No. He said last year.
Oh, last year.
Right. And then I think that they had the.
But I don't think that they offered him. See, I don't. They thought it was an anomaly.
No, I'm saying they had the chance to sit back and see this year and say, okay, you know, let's make sure that this wasn't an anomaly. Let's make sure we have a top three corner who's going to get his 6 to 10 picks that they're basically not even going to throw at, which is the reason why he only had whatever he had this year, 7 picks, 8 picks, because nobody really throws at him all the time.
But I think that's what the Patriots get paid. I mean, I think that's what they do as well as anybody, is they identify the value of their own players. And I think the guy should be back. I think he's earned it. But I don't know what the Patriots think.
Right.
And
they're not
going
to be backed into a corner. You say you have to. They don't say, I can't put Gay and Hobbs. They'll go, I'll put Gay and Hobbs. I'll put Gaffney. I mean, we saw it last year. They didn't get backed in with Deion Branch. They haven't been backed in with Lawyer Malloy. They will not be backed into a corner. They're going to make the decision they think is best, not that they, quote, unquote, have to.
And the good news is, no matter what the Patriots do, it'll be the right move. All right, John, thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Mostly thanks for the lunch. We
you
really appreciate it.
You are the best.
It.
Thank you very much,
thanks,
John.
Guys. We appreciate it, too.
All right. That's John.
I love our listeners.
Good
man,
call, too.
That is
a very
awesome.
Good call.
Good call.
Good stuff from
after
John.
The early swallowing the phone thing or whatever that was.
No, I think he was probably doing something.
No, that was a technical issue.
All right, so
that was Gary.
Blaming on Gary.
All right, so before John called, we were talking about this Brady thing.
I thought we'd take a break.
I think we all decided that it's
Fred,
much to do about
nothing. Did
you miss
the 12-17 break?
I think if it was something serious, you wouldn't see him out in public with a boot.
Well, you would.
The guy knows. Every time he goes to New York, he gets photographed.
Right.
He would be here if it was serious. He'd be getting treatments 24 hours a day.
Right. If anything, Belichick says, "Hey, get yourself photographed."
Now, listen,
put some doubt in there.
I don't think it's a serious injury
at
all. But nobody.
If it was, he would not be out.
But nobody's not at least a little bit worried that he didn't play well this week and now he's in a boot. And I know he's got time to heal, but what if he's not fully healed? What if he starts that game off slowly? And because the one way the Giants can stay in it is if they can get up and kind of run the ball, control. If they get down 10-14 nothing, say goodnight, because the Patriots are just going to pile it on. There's no worries at all about his
health?
Not
for me.
Not for a foot or ankle or whatever.
Now, we'll have something that we can question and point to,
right.
But I don't think it'll be the issue.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, and I don't know how the injury affected him, but I just think he didn't play well Sunday.
Right.
I don't think it had anything to do
with
his
part of a troubling
trend
over the last 3 years.
I think it was part San Diego, and I think it was part weather.
Give San Diego a little credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to give San Diego credit. I thought Quentin Jammer played an excellent game.
Yeah.
And I think
you got to start to say that Brady's not great in the foul weather. Everybody likes to say he's used to it. He plays in New England. But he's had a lot of games in the wind and cold weather that haven't been great.
That he's won.
Yeah, they weren't big numbers games.
Right.
You know,
he can get by, but he's not at his best.
Right. I think people think of the 2004 AFC Championship game, which was played in very cold conditions in Pittsburgh, where he was unbelievable. He had like a 135 passer rating. Those are the exception in bad weather. And
they're the exception for every quarterback.
I was going to say, and by the way, those are the exception for everyone.
Find me the guy who'd rather play at 4 degrees and a 25-mile-an-hour wind. That guy doesn't exist.
We went outside. I can't imagine that they played in that weather. That's terrible. I mean, just unbelievably cold.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Okay, we're back here at PFW in Progress. Now, Fred Kirsch, he had a sore ankle. He tried to go. He gave it his best shot, but he took himself out, so he's all done today.
But nope. Wait a minute. He could return.
Yes, he can return. Fred Kirsch, sore ankle, can return.
So but he's just going to sit and sulk.
Right. And it is kind of cold in here. He's probably, you know, going to get his park on.
Should we get into that? Let's get into the
He's
game.
Brooding.
Let's get into the game a little bit with San Diego. And, you know, Tom, you were at the center of, you know, I wouldn't call it a controversy, but.
Let's be honest. You bullied Norv Turner.
No, he yelled at me.
You were at the center of the post-game press conference for San Diego. Obviously, LT played two series and couldn't go and sat in the bench and didn't really do much. Had the helmet on, the parka on, and didn't do anything else the rest of the day. You asked Norv Turner, why don't you run down kind of the way the conversation went.
I didn't get a chance to ask my question. He said that LT was in pain. So I started off the question saying, you know, I'm sure Antonio Gates was in pain, and I'm sure Phillip Rivers was in pain, but they were out there, and I was going to ask, you know, with LT not being out there and not being up on the sidelines, do you think that hurts the locker room at all? But he wouldn't let me finish and just said, you know, don't get into that. That's the stupidest thing you could ask. So to me, it seems like it must have hit a nerve, and he was expecting the question to come, and he never let me finish it. And then I said, well, according to you, he was 100% because he wasn't on the injury report on Friday, which means 100% chance to play. And he said, well, where have you been? So then later in the press conference, I asked, just to clear it up, was LaDainian Tomlinson on the injury report on Friday? And he said, no, he wasn't. So this is the way I see it. LT, according to the Chargers, had 100% chance to play, and he did play. He started.
But the two guys who were listed as doubtful with a 25% chance to play played the whole game. You know, played four quarters.
Yeah.
So it's not looking good for LT because either A, they you know, were fudging on the injury report, but he's the one that looks bad. And plus, like we said, let's just say he was hurt. He couldn't go, okay? Let's just say that for a second. I watched a college kid by the name of Dennis Dixon on a Thursday night game rip his ACL to shreds on the field. Ruined his Heisman, ruined a chance to play for the national title. 45 minutes later, he was back out on crutches. His team was getting killed. And he was out there rooting him on.
Trying to help the backup quarterback.
Yeah, doing whatever he could. LT sat next to Billy Volek for the whole game and didn't move. To me, that's the crime of it all. That he didn't show any emotion. And according to people in San Diego, Andy, he's the leader of the team. He's a god out there. So, you know, it's...
We've taken some shots at LT over the past year in the aftermath of his comments following the divisional playoff out there last year. Mm-hmm. And we've all said that, you know, he's really dropped in our eyes, you know, with these episodes, you know, of seemingly just, you know, like immature behavior on the sideline. He's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, finds it easy to make fun of Philip Rivers for his hothead, emotional style. But when the chips were down on Sunday, Philip Rivers gutted it out and
right.
tried his best to play. And I'm not saying that maybe LT couldn't have played.
But I'm like
Tom said, Andy, I'm going to operate under the assumption that he absolutely could not have played, despite all the appearances to the contrary, not being on the injury report Friday, being the announcement in the press box saying that he could return, all of that. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say he just couldn't play. Why, then, do you sit there and pout?
'Cause he's a
with
baby.
The backup quarterback, by the way, who more than likely probably spent the whole week thinking that he was going to be a part of this game.
Right,
was
right.
very disappointed on Sunday, personally. What do they have in common there? They're sulking. And I just think that you're not putting the team first there. Whether you can play or not play, there had to have been something that he could have done to help Michael
That's
Turner.
The bottom line. LT put LT first.
Okay, let's say you can't play. I don't know, think out of the box. I mean, all those red zone trips, you don't go up to Norv Turner and say, you know what, Norv, put me out there in a backfield with...
Even for just one series.
Put me out there in the backfield with Michael Turner. I can't go. Don't give me the ball. But the Patriots, who are the Patriots going to be looking at? LT or Michael Turner? I can't fathom. I can't get my mind around that in the biggest game of the guy's life.
And he
sat on a bench for 3.5 quarters... without even looking like he wanted to be there.
Right, and he said himself he was 50% and he took himself out of the game. My problem was you played one series. I mean, you could have given it, you know, a little more effort. At 50, do you think Philip Rivers was 50%? Do you think Gates was 50%?
I don't think Philip Rivers was 50% based on...
Plus, at 50%, I mean, you can't just say I'm 50%.
Right.
What is 50%?
And I love the comment. Well
that's the cliche.
You're telling me you're halfway
right.
to dead?
Well,
that's what 50%
should
be. I like
the comment where he said... you know, I thought a healthier Michael Turner and Darren Sproles were better than a 50% me. Yeah, I could see Brady or Rodney Harrison
right,
going
just...
to Bill. Bill, I'm 50%. Why don't you take me out? You'd have to take Harrison with a crane and get him off
and
that
field. And the
fact
is, it was the exact opposite. The Chargers announced he can play and didn't.
Right.
The
was
exact
not a
opposite.
It was not the doctors. Everyone should know that. LT admitted yesterday that he took himself
right.
out of the game.
And I think also that there's some element that, you mentioned the San Diego announcement. I think there was some element of disappointment on the part of the organization itself.
Right.
I agree. And I think Norv was disappointed.
I think we criticized A.J. Smith on this
yes.
show. I know I did on another show, too. But I don't like the way A.J. Smith did that. I don't think that he did it the right way. I don't think he did
for Rivers or
for Rivers.
Oh, okay.
Specifically for Rivers.
I think this one came from Smith, too. At somehow,
but
I think
do.
He
and I,
got,
I think
got
the organization is putting it on the players here. And
the announcement was wrong. There's no way they should have announced that. I don't care. I think LT is 100% wrong. I think the announcement, the way they announced it, is 100% wrong.
I agree.
You're making a show of it, much like LT did when he got up and ran away from Philip Rivers early in the year.
It should have
you're
been
making
announced
a show,
questionable.
A public spectacle about what should be an internal issue, argument, debate, whatever it is. You made it a show.
Couldn't agree with you more.
That's wrong. But what else is wrong is LT putting LT first, I think.
So this was... I thought, a very interesting aspect of the post game, and our guy was right there in the middle
of
it.
Hey, bullied Norv Turner. Yeah, poor Norv Turner.
He yelled at me.
Poor Norvell went to the podium, and Tom Casale bullied him.
You don't think this hurts me?
And you made him look bad.
But you don't think this hurts me? Norv was there for the glory days. He was the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys when they were on top. And he goes and takes a shot at me like that. But he was clearly, like I said, I wasn't, I listened to it again because I thought maybe I was being in a wise-ass tone and maybe he took it wrong. But I was simply just asking a question, and he just jumped at me.
Right.
So obviously he was prepared.
Well,
and to
it's clear it's
that.
An issue. Like, you know, we're talking about the announcement. This whole picture.
That's my point.
There were different parties involved here, and he's probably looking at it. The game's lost now, so I need to focus on LT next year being my star running back.
Right.
So he needs to
against the Raiders in week 2.
Right. He needs to prepare for that. He's already. I mean, if he's worth anything, that's what he's prepared
for. That's a hell of a deal he's got. Doesn't play the preseason. Doesn't play the postseason.
Right.
But he'll play you those. And the thing, it just keeps getting worse for him because Phillip Rivers, if they had won that game, Billy Volek's playing the Super Bowl.
Right.
Rivers is done. He did all that just to get his team to the Super Bowl. You have Castillo saying it's the most courageous thing I've ever seen. So as the more this goes on, the worse it looks for Tomlinson. And like
look
we said,
worse.
It looks worse because you can never question how healthy he was. Only he'll know that. But his actions on the sidelines, you can question.
Yep.
And those were embarrassing.
Never has a quarterback more firmly grabbed a hold of his team while throwing 2 picks, no touchdowns,
right,
failing to get his team in the end zone despite 3 red zone trips and losing the biggest game
yep.
of the year, the way Phillip Rivers, and by the way, completing 50% of his passes.
Yep.
I mean, you know, statistically, you look at these numbers, he didn't play well.
No.
But I think there's not a guy in that locker room that doesn't look at Phillip Rivers now as the unquestioned leader of that team.
Right. Because with him,
except LT,
with him, it would be the coaches that would have to say, "Philip, we're pulling you. We're going
right.
with Volek. We think he."
And that's
but,
the way it's supposed to work.
But LT
and
just said, "I'm out."
And in fairness, the three of us talked about that during the game. At some point, do you think Norv sits there and says, "You know what? It's courageous. I have all the respect in the world for you, man. But you know, we got to get the healthy guy."
I definitely wanna. Wouldn't have criticized him if he had gone
no.
to Volek.
No, and especially
I would criticize him for punting down 9 with a.
that was one of the worst coaching. First of all, there is no scenario in which I want to ever punt the ball from the 36-yard
no.
line, unless
especially when you're down 9.
Unless I'm up 2 scores at that stage of the game, and I'm just simply saying I'm going to play the clock here, make him go 90.
Or
yards.
It's the second preseason game, and you need to get the punter
God.
Some work.
Well, you know,
punting
the best
the
part
ball
was
from the 90,
the best part was Norv's response. You know, we did the same thing with 10 minutes left against the Titans and scored 2 touchdowns.
But
I'm sorry, the Titans got Tom Brady? Are they the highest scoring
you
offense?
You didn't punt from the 36-yard line in that game. That was crap.
But the whole point is the Patriots just ran the ball down your throat the drive before. You know what like Andy, you said yesterday, what were you hoping to gain from that? The best thing you gain
right.
is you down the ball at the 2, they take 2 minutes off the clock and punt it back to you
right.
with 7 minutes to go. It
yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
And I understand what his point is. His defense was doing the job all day. And,
but you could tell they were getting tired
at
that
point. And
you
know what? His defense actually came up with, I mean, they did exactly what they wanted to do. They came up with a big play for a sack, got him in a long yarded situation, and Falk just made a sick catch.
But if your defense is fine, then go for it. They have the ball at the 35-yard line.
Exactly.
Stop them, punt, and okay, you lost 20 yards.
That's my feeling. I have a better shot of getting the 10 yards.
Because if you punt and down them at the 2, they punt. Okay, in theory, you hold them there. They punt to midfield. Well, if you hold them at the 36, then they punt and you get it at the 30-something. You get the ball back with like a 20-yard difference. But if you get the first down, now you go in, you keep marching, you score. Play to win, not to lose.
I think you had a better shot of getting 10 yards in a first down than you did of forcing 2 3-and-outs, which it would have taken to win the game.
That's the key, Paul, when coaches do those things like kick a field goal, then try the onside, and all this, get an onside kick. To me, it's always easier to just get 10 yards. Just get a first down, then you're right there. His thing, you needed like 5 things to happen for you to win the game.
He's got to force 2 3-and-outs. It's,
yeah.
it's not forcing 2 punts at that point. It's forcing 2 3-and-outs.
Yeah, because any time at that point that goes off the clock, it hurts you. It was just
a
terrible decision.
Very little chance, very little realistic chance of doing that. And I think that was a poor move. But otherwise, I have, you know, listen, the San Diego Chargers, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was really the only stupid thing
of
the day.
I think they had a reputation of being weak mentally, not necessarily showing up in the big spots.
And other than LT.
And other than their star and leader and God.
The other 52 guys and the coaches I'll put in this in the category, too, they came to play. They came to win the other day.
Merriman, I put a half foot in the fraud category.
But they were out there playing hard.
No, yeah, I know.
He just stinks.
Matt Light owns
He's
him.
He's supposed to take games over.
Let's say it the way it is. Matt Light owns Sean Merriman.
Owns him.
You know, Matt Light's another guy that we tease a lot, even though we all really like the guy a lot. We always tease him. Matt Light owned Sean Merriman. There's no other way to put it.
I was watching Merriman. He was trying everything, and Light was just standing there batting him around.
And they also, the Patriots also, their coaches are the best for a reason. A lot of those two tight end sets weren't just like to power up and run the ball.
Right.
Those guys were extra guys that Phillips and Merriman had to get around. You know, when Brady and Watson are out there at the same time. Hey, listen.
If you're a great player, you take a game over. They could put seven guys out there, take a game over if you're a great player.
I'm just saying, I think that Merriman was out there trying everything he could to do something. He just didn't get it done. LT, quit.
Fraud.
Okay, Iggy from Madrid said, regarding LT, I think there are two different things. One, if he could play with a hurt knee. Second, how he behaved on the sidelines. I disagree with Tom Casale on the first one. I think if a running back has a hurt knee, he can't play, but I agree on the second. And I'm not saying that I'm just saying he gave it one series. And he doesn't have a tear. He's got nothing. He's got a sprained MCL.
Absolutely nothing.
You think that he would at least go give it a couple series to see what, and like we said, just be a decoy on some of those, but they were inside the 10 three times. They get one touchdown, they got a shot to win that game. One.
He's had two consecutive playoff games with injuries that are what they call stuff when they go in and they don't really find a lot of damage. That's what he's had. Hyperextended knee and a sprained MCL are nothing.
I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I think we've all seen this. The NFL films the Denver-Green Bay Super Bowl when on the first drive, Davis gets a migraine. And he says to Shanahan, I can't go out, I can't see. And Shanahan tells him, you're just a decoy, go line up, we're not giving you the football. And Davis, who can barely see, goes and just lines up in his spot because they used him as a decoy. Yeah. That's all we're saying. If he wasn't like he broke his leg and he couldn't get on the field, you're at the 2-yard line, hey, throw LT in there.
Well, he was at 50%.
LT tried to go.
He didn't. That's how I feel about it. I think that, you know, we talk about all those red zone. Look, Patriots defense, let's give them a lot of credit because they came up with huge plays. I have been critical of the defense. They came up big on Sunday. But I have to think with LT out there, it could be different.
You think?
You know, and
Phillip Rivers says we're predictable when we have one of those other two backs out there.
The huge one to me is the last one when it's, you know, it's 14-9 and you drive on, you come up with a big interception to start the second half and you drive all the way down the field. You have a 3rd-and-1. From the 4.
LT tried to go.
That's the best. That's one of the best scenarios you can get. You're going to get a first down inside the other team's 3.
Right.
And they have no LT. You can't really run the ball as well as you want to. I mean, I have to think that LT gets in the end zone. At least one of those times. Now, if they take the lead on that possession, the whole game changes.
Yep. Whole game changes.
And you could see the remember before that play, they had that thing on the sideline with San Diego. They were all jumping up and down. It was like a college atmosphere. Yeah. Tom, you noticed it. We were talking about it. And all of a sudden, they have to kick a field goal. It's like they lost.
Yep. Right. That was huge. And Harry is chiming in about Samuel. He said, on the subject of Samuel, did you guys see the so-called elite corner, Al Harris, get beat all game long by Plaxico Burress? Makes you appreciate how good Samuel is. Well, don't go. Al Harris is a great player. He played a great receiver, and the receiver won. I've seen Samuel get abused by Marvin Harrison. Absolutely abused.
And I don't think anyone goes, who's the best corners in the league? They don't go elite Al Harris.
He's one of the best.
Champ Bailey is the best.
I think Al Harris is
excellent.
Then
he's next tier, but I've never thought Al Harris was an elite corner in Champ Bailey's mold.
I think he's very good, though. I think Al Harris is very physical. And I think
Samuel's better.
Than Al Harris?
Yes.
I don't think he's that much better if he is.
I think they're both a step down.
But I'm just saying,
elite.
Could you see Samuel... Hey, Burris whooping on Samuel in the Super Bowl.
Guys.
I could
look at all the guys that have been criticizing. So I'm just going to say, look at all the guys that have been criticizing Samuel for like this last couple of weeks now. You know, in Jacksonville, I don't think he had a great game, and I don't think he played particularly well against the Giants in that last regular season. Right? Because you know what, The advantage is with the offense.
Right.
You know, that's why quarterbacks in this league, even bad ones, complete 60% of their passes.
I'll tell you one thing. If they lost Samuel and somehow traded for Al Harris, you wouldn't be complaining, the fans. I know that was a – he had a terrible game. We saw the highlights. It was an awful game by him.
Burris beat him up. And yep. I think that's something that should be concerning
as we
move forward.
He's coming along, too, in the Phillip Rivers mold. Burris used to be a total bleeping fraud.
That's what I said to you. He's really sure. I think I mentioned that a couple of weeks
ago.
Now,
he still needs to prove to me that he's not Sean Merriman or somebody. I want to see him do it against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Well, he had a big game the first time they played. He had that one-handed
touchdown
catch.
He had that one big catch.
Plus, yeah. I mean.
Still needs to show me something.
What is it? Do only you get to define what a big game is?
Guy had a phenomenal season.
155 yards.
Guy had a phenomenal season. Played a good game. Played a good game against the Patriots. Had one of the best NFC Championship games of all time.
Ever.
But if he doesn't do it on Sunday,
if I'm not in person, then he doesn't pass the test. Merriman, James Harrison, I have a list of guys that don't pass.
But Merriman, you've seen a couple of times now.
Right, and those guys are. Plus, I've seen Merriman play against other teams in big games that he hasn't done it.
Can I just not have my stupid little rules?
No, that's what I said. That's why I love Andy Hart's rules.
I
exactly
told you,
I
LeBron James, I had to watch the first game. He went for like 24, 12, and 7, and I said,
Tom,
this guy's special.
Lost is coming back.
I know, but we'll be in Arizona.
That's okay. Get the DVR ready. Although my DVR's on the fridge.
Yeah, but you can't.
My box blows.
But you can't go up. But you can't go online, Paul, because everyone's going to be talking about it. You can't, like, listen. You got
to believe me.
Yourself.
I don't go online to talk about Lost.
I'm just saying, like, if you go to Yahoo or something, they might just show it. Okay, this who's this?
Yahoo!
Scott wants. It says shave. I have a very important question about the offensive line. Will these guys shave before getting to the hot Arizona weather, or will they keep the ZZ Top look for good luck?
They'll keep them, I believe.
I'm going to
guess
they said
they weren't going to shave.
Yeah.
Unless they have another accident with a trimmer like Matt Light did a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Thankfully for him, he's a gorilla, and it's back already.
Sandeep, he wants to know about the line. He said, for the benefit of humanity, please explain how the Vegas line works. I got into an argument with a bunch of my buddies about the line for the Super Bowl. My argument was Vegas loves money and not the teams. The only consideration for Vegas is getting equal action on both sides. They could care less who won or lost. All the punanis in the media are adding to the confusion about the Vegas line. So please, for the last time, share the knowledge. Andy, go to Urban Dictionary to find out what punani means. Well, I know he knows that because he uses it all
I
the
use
time.
It all the time on the show. You took that from me, Sandeep, you punani.
Well, it's not necessarily that they want 50%. They want you to bet. They want you to gamble. Right. That's what they're doing. So nobody thinks, based on what happened on the field, that the Patriots are 14 points better than the Giants, because they already played once, and this is what the guys on the media are saying. It was a three-point game, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. You open that line, Patriots are 7 or 8, and it's 90% are going to be on the Patriots, right. And they're good, and most likely they're going to win.
Right.
So you have to open the line to a point where you get at least some action on the Giants. I think right now it's like 65-35, but as the game gets closer, more people will start thinking, well, I'll take the points, and you kind of – so they're trying to get betting action with the opening line. Then whichever way the money comes, they'll adjust it.
But that's absolutely right in terms of trying to balance it, establishing some sort of balance. They don't want all the money on one side,
right? Because if they lose, they lose.
But there is an element,
He was right. They like money,
right? It's not as simplistic as a lot of fans like to make it out in terms of what they do with the. But there is an element of Vegas thinks the Patriots are substantially better than the Giants. In other words, they think it was kind of a fluke that it was only a three-point game.
My guess is the Vegas thinks they're 10 points better.
Right.
And the 4 points is added to try to get – because everyone knows it's one game. It's not like it's Sunday and there's 12 games. It's one game. Everyone's betting it. Everyone knows the AFC's better. The Patriots are undefeated. You have to inflate that line or you have a chance of getting killed.
Right. Just real quick, he mentioned Urban Dictionary. Today's Urban Dictionary word of the day, courtesy of – the New York area and the Giants is a New York breakfast. That's right, a New York breakfast.
Word of the day is New York breakfast.
New York Gary, breakfast. Should I read this? There's no bad words in it.
Don't read it.
Okay, and we're also doing a new word of the day. Send in the answer to this. Blank-a-doodle-doo. Strippers wants to know if we're watching the Senior Bowl practices. He says, I hear Rivers and Ellis are blowing it up. That would be Cedric Ellis and Rivers from, can't think of his first name, from USC, the linebacker. David.
Oh, they were loving him yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw, you should play tight end too. You're a great athlete. Blah, 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 blah.
So the USC guys, I have a theory
his
on
name, Keith.
Yeah, Keith Rivers. I have a theory on drafting. I used to have this with Miami. If they played at USC, draft them.
Bill does too. He takes seventh round quarterbacks, backup linebackers.
And much to nobody's surprise, Strippers wins the word of the day by getting the word that goes to blank doodle doo. Yeah, so, yeah, we'll be watching more Senior Bowl stuff this week. The problem for us is we're so jammed with Super Bowl.
I was going to say, this damn Super Bowl gets in the way.
We can't get into our draft work until the Super Bowl's over, and you know I don't like that.
Speaking of word of the day.
What?
Blank a doodle-doo.
Speaking of Punani.
Oh, I didn't see him come in. Eric is here. Eric, what's going on at practice?
There isn't any.
Boy, yeah.
I figured his update would be the same. True, provide no information.
Wow. 53 guys did not practice.
It's 65 degrees today in Phoenix. Somebody says
65. See, that's not warm.
I like it a little warmer than.
Sorry,
that.
I lost the email.
Every day I've seen since the last couple of weeks that it's been pretty much apparent that we're going. I've seen in the mid-60s, and it gets down as low as like the low 40s.
30s. 30s.
That's
the only time we have free time.
Right. That's not what I'm looking for.
We don't have free time.
Tom might have to break out his bearskin rug.
That's true.
No, I got a new one for Christmas. The bearskins.
While he's running from rattlesnakes and spiders.
There will be none of those. Someone who lives in Phoenix, do I have to worry about like little things crawling around me and stuff? Because I don't want that
geckos
at all.
Geckos or whatever those little salamanders
are. Like,
are
they going to be in my room or can I shield them up? No, I'm not asking you.
You got to check under the sheets.
Somebody from Phoenix, email us in. You just emailed in and told me what the freaking weather was. So tell me about the...
That he's in Phoenix, that emailer?
I think so. Someone just emailed in and said it was...
Well, any of our Phoenix emailers, please, Andy and I need some information.
On entertainment.
On some adult entertainment.
Yeah, he was from Tempe.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll be in the greater Tempe, Scottsdale, Phoenix area.
Yeah, in that
I'll be
area,
watching TV.
Let us know how it works.
Yeah,
you know,
if it's as good as
Houston. Give us the ins and outs and where we might want to...
Have you ever heard the term reciprocatory touching?
I'll probably be at T.O.'s party.
He always having a party?
He always has a Super Bowl party. You know the Cowboys. They just want to be at the Super Bowl. They don't care if they play in it.
Well, that's Patrick Creighton, too.
Yeah, they'll all be there.
He'll be there to talk to the Patriots. So, Eric.
Yes, sir.
Why are you here?
Do you have anything for us? What are you doing?
Same thing I always have. I'm giving the listeners what they want. Less of me.
I was going to say, not you.
Then why are you here?
Show started 45 minutes ago, Jack.
Jack.
Brian says...
It's kind of like now at the end.
Brian says, I was half listening to Tom talk about LT, and I thought he said he doesn't have a pair when he said he doesn't have a tear. I suppose both of those statements could be correct.
That is true.
Does it seem to you all that Hobbs plays better in confined space near the goal line when the number of routes a receiver can run are more limited than in the middle of the field? It seems he has no route anticipation. Is this weekly film study wasted on this guy?
Well, it is hard for guys to get 30 yards behind him when he's playing on the goal line.
Yes, I would agree.
Luckily, he's not in Canada. He would really struggle. That extra 10 yards would hurt him.
I would agree. Ellis Hobbs, like the other 63 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, is better in the red zone when there's less space for the receivers to work
all with. All players. Linebackers, Teddy Bruschi. You think he'd rather have Gates in a confined area or running all over the field?
I thought Bill, and not to make light of it, but I thought Bill was, I wouldn't say critical, but in saying what he said in complimenting Chris Chambers particularly, but also Vincent Jackson yesterday on his appearance on Patriots Monday, was kind of talking a lot of about Hobbs. Because a lot of those catches, I don't know if you noticed, but they switched a lot to try to get, and they went at Hobbs specifically.
As we've been suggesting opponents should do all year.
And Bill even made a comment that the injury in the wind caused the interception to Hobbs.
Right.
Whereas, and he specifically said, Asante made a great play on the ball out fighting Chambers on his interception. So, he didn't.
Bill's really turned over a new leaf.
It wasn't critical.
Admitting to the obvious.
But it wasn't critical of Hobbs. But I think based on what he said and what he didn't say, I think you could kind of read between the lines and say their receivers outplayed, one of our cornerbacks. Because he was very complimentary of Samuel.
Okay, Jay in Albany. Now, I can say these Urban Dictionary phrases, right? am I
phrase, just not any descriptive definitions.
Right, okay. The word of the day should be the New Jersey meat hook. In the sentence, do you think Michael Strahan has given Eli Manning the New Jersey meat hook? So, Andy, or I'm sure Gary's are...
Not much left to the imagination on that one.
Here you go, strippers. Club Jenna owns Babe's Cabaret in Scottsdale. I'll hook you guys up there. Ask for Danny. My name...
Yeah, stop. Yeah. Don't
I can't
that.
Even read it.
And forward that to
don't
us.
Don't read that. I'll have that upstairs in the email box.
Okay.
Strippers, you are the best once again. I knew if I put it out there, I would get some.
Hey, strippers, good, if I was going to Boise, Idaho, could you hook me up with a place?
Probably. Love Jenna has a place.
Going to Hoboken.
Hey, this is from, who's this from? Let me hang on.
Okay, we're here. We're hanging up. We'll be here for another hour 10.
You guys are right on with Tomlinson. All I keep seeing is him sitting there with his helmet and jacket on. Quitter. I was sitting watching the game with my father, and we both were saying, what's he doing just sitting there? Get up and cheer on your team. As for the game, vintage Patriots, playoff Patriots football, I can't wait for the G-men. Finally, Felger's show yesterday was priceless. The fact that Mr. Cannot... How do you say it, Andy?
Oh, I don't know.
C-A-N-E-P-A.
E-P-A.
Canapa has a job writing for the Chargers astounds me. Andy and Tom, I don't know how you lasted through the whole interview. Oh, no, they had to keep shutting
our mics off.
Yeah, they had to shut our mics off. That's the hardest and longest I've laughed in many years. I was on my drive home. I was still in tears laughing from that interview. That was amazing. For those that didn't hear it, it was good stuff. Hang on a second. I'm reading New Jersey Meat Hook. When the girl gets off the...
Stop! He really
how
needs
do you spell
to
be told. That? Okay,
C-A-N-E-P-A.
Basically, I've done that before.
Canapa or Canepa? I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't know, but man, does he stink. Yeah. I mean, he was terrible.
I think it would be great if we had him on this show and let him... It would be like a face-off.
Him and Fred.
Him against Fred. And... Because I think Fred, that guy was such a homer based on what you guys told me, that he would make Fred blush.
But yeah, at least Fred collects a paycheck that says Kraft.
Well, that's true. Well, we have reasons to be homer.
The best part of the interview was this. Like, we're killing this guy because all he's doing is defending everything except Marty Schottenheimer, who's no longer with the team.
Right.
Right. But, that's very friendly.
The Fred
right.
Kirsch.
But so Felger goes, what happened to Sean Merriman yesterday? And the guy goes, well, what do you mean? And Felger goes, he didn't make a play. Right. And the guy goes, well, the Patriots are good. So basically, if you're playing the Patriots, you're not expected to do anything. Right. You know, they're pretty good. Then he was talking about Belichick in Cleveland. You know, you have to have talent to win in this league. You know, the Patriots have talent. Look at Bill Belichick when he was in Cleveland. What did he do? Nothing. Well, you set an NFL record for 11 Pro Bowlers last year in San Diego. You telling me they don't have any talent?
Now, who is this guy that called you?
He was a columnist in San Diego.
Tribune.
He has less opinions than you do. It's unbelievable.
It's true.
Wow. That's saying something.
Wasn't nearly as pompous, though.
No, he wasn't.
He was a nice fellow.
Yeah, he took it quite well.
Eric takes it quite well, and often.
All of a sudden, today he's taking it well, anyway.
He decided
when he came down here, I'm not going to let them get me today.
I bet I can get him
so
in the next
I got the over-under at 103.
Chris from the
Bronx.
Oh,
by the way, it's not just us that are talking about LT. Everybody in San Diego, despite what that
oh yeah no everyone
said,
is killing
is ripping him.
Well,
I went on the San Diego Union Tribune yesterday to read, and the stories are all kind of pretty tame. And then you go to like the little comment section, and it's 10-1, just shredding him.
Tom did it right after the game. He
I looked at the message board,
and they were just wondering why at least he couldn't be on the sideline and help his team, help Michael Turner.
But you know what it is for a fan, like. To me, Emmitt Smith was my favorite player, not for all the touchdowns he scored, but it was that game against the Giants. When you saw the pain in his face, yet he was out there.
Getting a little gay.
No, I'm just saying, but that's what fans like, is when Ronnie Lott gets the tip of his finger cut off so he can play in a game. Right. Fans love that kind
because
of stuff.
Because they want to idolize the guy. They want him to do like... Tomlinson basically was like us in a flag football. Oh, my hamstring hurts. I'm going to go home.
Right,
and that's what people remember about Emmett when they look back on his career. That's
is that
the
game.
First
that's
they,
the defining game for
that,
Emmitt Smith.
Is LT, when people think of him, are they going to remember the AFC Championship game?
I think, unless the Chargers go forward from here and get over the hump and start winning some titles, that is going to define his career.
I agree.
You can see it right now.
I agree with you.
No matter how, and I think the guy is great.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
Well, he's talented.
No doubt about it.
He's a great great football player. But unless he gets over this, that's going to be the thing that is.
And the worst part for him
career.
Was Rivers, the direct comparison.
That's,
it's
that's
awful.
It.
5 feet apart on the field.
That's it. And now you find out later, we didn't even talk about this yet. You find out later he had arthroscopic surgery last week before the game, and he's got to have now more surgery.
6 months. Well, he tore his ACL.
Right, to have the real.
It was not completely torn, and now it's torn. Whereas LT, I'm 50%.
And like you said, you want to idolize these guys, and you're sitting there thinking, this is you've waited our whole lives to get here, and you're on the sidelines. You know, it was in the reason I don't have respect for Thurman Thomas was that second Super Bowl when they were beating the Cowboys 13-6, first series of the second half.
Yeah.
He fumbled. James Washington returns it for a touchdown. If you watch NFL films, and this will be on these coming weeks when they show all the Super Bowls, the voice of NFL film says one player who did not keep his composure is Thomas, who begged off due to leg cramps. Begged off. They say that in NFL films. Like it was such an obvious quitting situation. And I feel like Paul said, that's kind of what I remember about Thurman Thomas now, is how he quit in that game. And if the Chargers never have another chance, I agree with Paul, that's going to be what people remember, is him sitting on that bench with that stupid parka and helmet on.
And I don't like to fall into the injury thing where you're trying to determine how injured a player is.
Right.
Obviously, you don't know. And
no one knows.
That, and I don't like to play games with, you know, other people's careers. But I'm not even talking about whether or not the guy played. There's two things that I'm looking at. One is the whole injury report thing, that he wasn't even on the injury report and went from that to only being able to play two series and get three touches in the game, two carries and a catch. Okay, so maybe you couldn't play. All right. But I don't think that excuses you for the next 3.5 quarters sitting there with your helmet on and your parka on and not being able to help your team.
But according to the guy from San Diego who we spoke with yesterday, he said it was 9 degrees. He should have came in the press box with me, to which Velger replied, should Antonio Gates have come into the press box with you?
The thing that's just so ridiculous, why are they listing Rivers and Gates doubtful all week, and not Tomlinson? What does it serve
LT
them not
tried
to put
to go.
Him on there? I mean, they knew he was hurt in the game. He came out of the Colts
game. See, that's
game.
My stance. So why didn't they just make him questionable? By. Why didn't they just make him questionable?
That's what I'm saying. Just put him questionable. It's 50-50. And then if he plays great, if he doesn't, you can say, well, he was questionable. At least he gave it a try. You know, what does it serve them to do that? What does it serve him to do that?
And I'm a little disappointed with the just people in general, like the whole – because if Bill Belichick did this – people would want him dead. Like, they would want his family, like, the ESPN would be all, you know, there's Bill again. They'd be, you know, get their little round table. They'd be breaking it down. So if Belichick does it, it's a crime. But when someone else does it, you know, let it go. Everyone does it.
And Andy, you made the point about the press box announcement, saying that they, you know, the phrase that they used, that was wrong. And I think it was wrong because they should have just announced him as questionable. His return is questionable. That way,
or even probable, if you want to say he's really not all that hurt.
Yeah. Right. No, but no one, if you announce it as questionable, no one's after that going to make an issue out of the announcement. I think it was an intentional thing on the organization to say,
not just
we think this guy.
You don't need the word sore. You don't need to tell us sore. You should say knee questionable.
Right. And the fans weren't there.
That's
so this is what it sounded like.
I'm sure
normally they say, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson knee return questionable. They said LaDainian Tomlinson has a sore knee. He can return. And you almost felt like the guy was saying under his breath, but he doesn't want to.
But he's a mrah. Play it, Gary. Play it.
Well, don't get into that. I mean, that's the stupidest thing you could ask. The guy was not able to go. The doctors and trainers said he couldn't go.
He was 100%.
Pardon me?
He was 100%. He practiced all week.
Who?
LT.
Where have you been?
Where have you been, Tom?
Yeah.
I've been reading the injury report that they've been putting out.
You clearly touched a nerve with him.
He went...
See, I wasn't yelling at him.
No, but you hit on a nerve. I'm saying.
Yeah.
No.
You
hit on something.
And that's my point, is that they were prepared to answer those questions, and he went on the offensive immediately when Tom asked them about it. And, you know, I think, Andy, you brought up the point, and Tom did too, about Eric. Can you imagine if these guys played in Boston?
Oh,
like
LT
has a problem with the media out there.
Yeah.
I think you guys got a glimpse of that on that show with Mike Felger yesterday with Hans and Franz here. That's what they think is analysis. That's what they think is hard-hitting journalism. You know?
The Patriots are good.
What do you want?
What do you want?
We gave it a run.
Hey,
you guys are lucky to beat the Colts. The Colts are pretty good, too.
We were thinking about not even showing up. They're a good team. You can, it takes talent now.
We don't have Brady yet.
You can hear the frustration in Turner's voice, and you almost want to think that it wasn't up to him to make the call on.
No, LT put himself out.
No, on
his
the
injury. Frustration
the
is LT's his franchise back, and he's got to use him again next year.
I'm talking about where have you been? The whole injury report situation. You know, not listing him all week, and then he comes and begs out of the game after. You kind of get the feeling like he's saying in his voice, you can hear him tossing up his hands saying, you're like, look, I can't control what everyone else is
doing. Well,
you
know what I think it is? Like, Norv Turner has been criticized, you know, in the past for kind of being laid back and stuff, but he showed during that Colts game, he was fiery, and I think he really
and he had a right to be.
I think he really wanted to win this game, and I think based on practice, just on practice, he's saying to himself, I think he could have played longer than this.
That's what I mean?
From what I saw this week, from what I saw from Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, and LaDainian Tomlinson, those guys were out there all game, and he took himself out of the first series. But like Andy said, he can't say that. He's the coach.
That's what I'm saying.
There's the underlying
frustration, and he can't really say what he wants to say. So
I mean, that's the stupidest thing you could ask a guy.
When you bring up the topic, it's obviously the one thing that's bugging him more than anything else. And it's not necessarily that you were the one who asked him the question.
Right.
It would have been anybody who
and
asked
that. He didn't let me, like I said, I was going to try to ask it in the nicest way possible.
He was just expecting it to be a critical.
And I don't know why. He's from San Diego.
That's right.
You know,
he should be waiting for laid-back layups.
You know, Norv and I had our nice fireside chat during the first, you know, that first game. No one else wanted to go to his press conference. I was sitting there front row, and now with all these other reporters in there, he's got to act like he's cool.
Maybe you should have brought that up to him and just say, hey, remember me from week two? No one else was here.
Yeah, I'm not like you. I didn't want to make it all about me, Aaron.
And little does he know, if he wants to know about your stupid questions, you could ask that handshake question you used on Bill earlier in the year.
Which one?
Bill, what's the handshake? Where does that go back to?
I was just wondering. You never wondered about that? Like, why do they shake hands?
Tom, how long does it take you to think these up?
We should point out that the chronology of the injury report, you know, he did not practice on Wednesday. On Thursday, he had full participation in practice. And then on Friday,
wasn't listed.
He went when you have to designate out, doubtful, questionable. He was not listed, which says that he is, as Tom pointed out, 100% to play. And in fact, he did start the game, and then it lasted two series. That's it.
And we got something from who's this? Joseph in San Diego. He says the ripping him in San Diego, not quite. See below, and it says open season on Tomlinson. Injured star is victim of hurtful cheap shots. But this is from the Union
Tribune.
No, I'm
talking
about
the people.
Yeah, we're talking. No, we know the papers are defending him.
Saying.
We're saying that
we talked
to the guy yesterday.
This guy's almost in tears. It is illogical. It is irresponsible.
This?
It is hurtful. It is wrong. It needs to stop now.
Who's this?
I don't know. It just says Union Tribune.
Because it could be the guy we talked to.
Yeah, it could be. He probably wrote it after he talked to us.
And again,
and he was really talking about the way we treated him.
This needs to stop.
For me, this has far less to do with the fact that he didn't play as it does with his actions.
Right.
Right.
I agree with you on that.
I think there's, you know, if, you know, Antonio Gates went out there and tried to play and clearly couldn't. Okay.
I mean, he's letting Teddy Bruschi cover him.
I knew that was coming.
But he kept, like, he was out there. He went to the locker room at once. Like, looking at that game, it told me that Antonio Gates said, I'm going to do everything in my power to get on the field for as many snaps as I can in this game. I didn't get that from LT.
No.
I want to stay warm on this heated bench and sit next to the backup quarterback who probably thought he was playing.
And I like the one that says, well, you know, he had his helmet on because it was cold. Yeah, that'll really shield you from the wind. It has an opening in the front, two openings on the side. Like Andy said, put your street clothes on, grab one of those huge jackets, and put a...
The helmet's made out of hard plastic and cold rubber. If you're cold, put a wool cap
I think
on
he was
warm.
I think he was ashamed.
He was.
He didn't want
be.
Anyone to see him.
And misery loves company, so he was with the guy who thought he was probably going to play
this
weekend.
Yeah, I made the point, you know...
And,
They were sulking together.
Exactly.
I understand a little something about sulking as the backup quarterback, and when you think you think you should be in the game and you're not, it's very hard to be a team guy at that time. And I think that LT aligned himself with a guy who probably had the most reason not to really care that much about the team at that time.
But with a guy who's known as not a great locker room guy.
Yes, that's why he's not in Tennessee.
So you have
anymore.
Your team leader and quote unquote God aligned with the sulking backup bad locker room guy.
Can you imagine this? Can you imagine what the press would be like if that was Tom Brady? Tom Brady, who took himself out of the game because he was 50% and then sat there with his head down.
Oh, by the way, Tom Brady's a god in this town, too, and they'd still rip him.
Yes, he is a god.
Look at this ankle thing or foot thing, whatever it is right now. let's say that he, for whatever reason, can't practice Thursday. But by the time next week rolls around and next Friday when the designations come out, he's not on the injury report. Then he goes out and plays two series and then can't play anymore. How do you think the reaction is going to be? Now, this is a guy who has played through everything.
Yep.
No one, you know, not to steal Bill's thunder here, but no one's tougher than Tom Brady. Right? He's played through separated shoulders, knee problems, all kinds of injuries. Right? That big brace he had on that year. Can you imagine if he went out in the Super Bowl and played two series and said, you know what, I can't go.
And sat on the bench and sulked.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that
he wouldn't be in Belichick and McDaniel's ear the whole time, hopping around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He'd be doing what Peyton Manning does.
He'd be annoying, yeah.
But he would. Don't you think he would be roundly criticized? Yeah. And there's no doubt in my mind that if that happens, he couldn't play.
Right.
But I still think if that happened, he would be roundly criticized.
He'd be 50% like LT.
I don't know. I think people might cut him some slack. Around here.
Not if he acted like LT.
Not if they lost.
No, if they lost and if he sulked, no. But if
Paul's right,
though.
People would be saying, well, he was not on the injury report.
No, but the point is if he did what LT did.
Right.
If he's on crutches and they in an air cast
and
like,
doing everything he can to
even then, say he can't even really move. He's on crutches, hobbling around, barely can stand. He would be up. There's no doubt. Or he'd be in the hospital. Which LT should have been. If he was halfway to death, he should have been
a general. You know what I liked yesterday, Andy? It said on ESPN, LT likely to miss Pro Bowl. Please play in the Pro Bowl. Oh. That would be my dream if he plays in that Pro Bowl.
That would be pretty funny.
All I need to see is him playing in the Pro Bowl and scoring a touchdown and going, you know, that stupid thing. I shouldn't call it stupid. I kind of like it.
It's kind of cool.
But now it's stupid. His little touchdown
Everything
dance.
He touches is stupid now. No wonder he advertises for Vizio, those cheap pieces of crap.
And the other thing, too, is...
Those don't always work either when you need them.
You know, this is on a much greater scale, but it's kind of like our Lawrence Maroney thing. We've been critical of Lawrence Maroney all year, but it's not because we didn't think, you know, it's not Rabbi Abdullah. It's not a guy that we didn't think could play the position. We were critical of him because we thought he was a first-round talent, and we were all disappointed that we hadn't seen that level of production. Well, now we're seeing it with Lawrence Maroney, and he's proving us wrong. And that's good to see because we knew he had the ability. That's why I think the LT is in so much, you know, the crosshairs of everybody right now. This is not, you know, some pedestrian running back. This is one of the best I think the best player in the game today. And you know, in terms of overall talent and – it's disappointing to see him act like that.
On Felger, say somebody said, well, you know, LT thought a 100% Turner was better than a 50% LT. I go,
maybe.
Has LT ever heard of Kirk Gibson? The guy limped around with a pretty important home run. You know what I mean? Like that, you're the great player. You need to come through sometimes.
Yep, you do. And, he didn't do it.
Yeah, Michael Jordan had a little stomach bug. What if he just doesn't show up? I mean.
We got hundreds of emails here. I'm not even taking a break. We're going
straight through, baby.
With Chris from the Bronx. Hi, guys. I just wanted to write and say thanks for your webcast and your blog these 2 weeks. I'll need it living down here in New York. Just went to get some lunch from a pizza place across the street, and the guy behind the counter told me he wouldn't serve me as long as I was wearing my Patriots hat. He was kidding, but the point is I'm grateful for news from New England. From New England's point of view, I was sorry to see the Packers lose because I was sure the Pats would score on them at will. The Giants tried to give them the game, tried to give the game away. Fumbled interception, fumbled return, two missed field goals.
But Favre
provided the final gift. Well, Giant fans are taking some solace in their Week 17 performance. I'm hopeful that the Pats will play better from the start, and that game. And some of the pressure of the Super Bowl will finally affect New York. That said, 14 points seems awfully high. Love to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks again for the hard work. That's Chris from the Bronx.
I need to expose myself, Paul. That map you referenced earlier is up again. Is that Louisiana?
Don't expose yourself, please.
I mean,
Mississippi. The yellow one?
It is. It's
Mississippi, New York, and New Jersey.
So Eli's boys are voting for
those
him.
Those are the three states
I'm getting stuff in here from Dave from Tempe says, get ready to laugh, Andy. The strip club Jenna owns is Babe's Cabaret. The Pussycat Lounge is a nightclub that is a good place to go see some loosely clad Arizona bimbos.
I'm not looking to have relationships, so I'll probably be at the Jenna one.
I'll be at the Pussycat
Lounge. I like business transactions where it's all on the up and up.
Okay, hang on.
Up and up?
What are you talking about over there?
What?
Transactions and
up and up.
Yeah, it's a business relationship.
This is from Warren in the UK. I enjoyed the game on Sunday, although my prediction of 34-17 was way off. So the defense finally stepped up and basically won us the game. Hobbs and Samuel both had interceptions, and Seau was awesome. As for LT, I actually lost a little respect for him and gained some for Rivers. Rivers played hurt and visibly hurt at times, and LT just sat down and didn't take his helmet off and didn't even pump his team up when it was a close game for the most part. I think he showed little heart on Sunday compared to those of Gates and Rivers. LT surely can't play at the Pro Bowl. That would be a slap in the face. Each player should play like it's his last game. Anyway, Giants it is again, and I'm confident of a comfortable win. Oh, and that catch from Falk was, whoa, this guy is so clutch and always gets the job done when he is called upon. And that's Warren.
Well, he's a headline.
It's funny how he's turned things around, though, because remember earlier in his career, I don't know about
no,
you guys,
earlier,
but
two years ago, they wanted to keep Patrick Cobbs.
Yeah, I used to be, every time he touched the ball, I was afraid he was going to drop it.
But he definitely had a fumbling problem, and he's been perfect this year. He hasn't fumbled once. And that's, I mean, he always had, his whole career has been littered with plays like the ones he made Sunday on third down. Yeah. That's what he's done his whole career, but he's always fumbled the ball occasionally on plays, you know, after plays like that, and they've been big fumbles.
And the player I feel like that about now is the guy we've talked about before, is Ben Watson. Every time he touches the ball, I'm afraid he's going to get hit. And but the funny thing is when he gets those somersault hits where they take his knees out, he holds onto the ball.
That's true.
And he
does
and
make
he
the tougher ones more often than not.
And when he fumbles, usually when it's just like a, you know, he got hit from the side or something.
Like a Marvin Harrison fumble.
Yeah.
Hank from Norway, I was getting to your email. You don't have to keep sending it in with new titles that say Tom's the greatest, Tom, you're great. You are like second in line, but since you're so eager to have it read, we'll go to you.
This Notice is, Tom went to the ones that said, Tom,
right.
You're
no,
great.
I'm going,
Tom, I love
I'm
you.
Going down the line, and they keep popping in every. I just thought it was someone different, you know, because of my popularity. But it's just Hank from Norway trying to get read. I don't think it even mentions my name in the email. He says, I have been saying this for a while. LT is a real fraud. I don't like the guy who goes around and tells everybody how classy he is. He quit on his team. It will be very interesting to see if he will attend the Pro Bowl. I bet he will. That Joseph guy who just emailed reminded me of that video, Leave Britney Alone. Who's that?
Oh, the San Diego guy saying it's wrong, it needs to stop. Is that
oh the
to?
Yeah no that wasn't that yeah, was written the, in the paper. The emailer was just pointing it out.
Right. Yeah, that was written in a legitimate publication.
I am so excited right now about the show, but Eric came in the room, so never mind that. I got a question. Who is the bigger underdog in the Super Bowl? Pats 0-1 against the Rams or the Giants 0-7 against the Patriots?
It's a good question. It's
the Patriots closing line. I know I bet them with my guy was 13.5.
Yeah, it's going to be the spreads are going to be very similar, but I don't think that the Rams were considered as unbeatable as the Patriots are.
I don't think so either.
No.
But I think
plus
the
Patriots had won like a lot of games going into that, right? They were on a They were hot.
Yeah, it was kind of. It was a longer winning streak for the Patriots, but it was kind of a similar thing. They got hot late in the year and got in a roll. But do you think? What do you think would be the bigger surprise if the Giants win or the Patriots?
The Patriots won.
I would say so. Only be, geez, no, because the Patriots.
It's a good one.
The Patriots played the Rams. Nobody. The same thing.
Nobody picked the.
And
the
it was.
Patriots
it was very similar. Only the. Yeah, it was a very similar thing. The Patriots lost a close game
at home
to the Rams, just like the Giants lost a close game at home to the Patriots.
I think it'd be more surprising if the Giants win this one.
When I first heard it, I was like, "Oh, that's crazy! That Patriots beating the Rams that tops them all." But then I was like, "You know what? This might be bigger."
The more I thought
of it, the more I started to think this Patriots team is thought of to be unbeatable. By a lot of people. And as great as that Rams team was, they weren't unbeatable.
They're undefeated. They have one game to go for winning it all. Probably the Giants.
Yeah, the Rams
would be the
lost games.
It's good, though.
That's
a good one. I heard that on the radio this morning.
I think of the Giants as better right now for some reason.
Than the Patriots were back then.
Hard because you were here. You were close to the team, too.
Right. And you were in PR then. I was here. That it's just... And the you thing never is, thought but, every week you went into the game and you just said,
but
this
here's
is
right.
the week.
Here's
There's
the
no
thing,
way they're
though.
Winning this week.
I think you guys, like, nobody thought that they were overly talented, but I think you guys being closer to the team knew just how, like, from the outside, I knew that they weren't a great football team, but I remember thinking that they were better than you guys thought they were being here. Because, you know, you saw them in training camp. You knew how they were winning. And, you know, people who were just following it casually like me, I think we thought that they were a little bit better than you guys did. Lucky is on the horn. So hang on, my man, 1 second. We're just going to finish Henry's email here. He says, "Well, now he's on the horn. All right, what do you got going on, Lucky?"
I haven't finished the email. I'm just listening.
Okay, he says, "I have an issue about Ellis Hobbs. He's a terrible corner. He allows so many catches. I would say Ellis Hobbs is our Roy Williams. The other team throws to wherever he is. We definitely need to draft a corner in the first three rounds."
But he's not Roy Williams. He's not a first round pick Pro Bowler. He's Ellis Hobbs. He's a number two corner.
He's got an interesting thing here. Tom, who would you rather kill, Wade Phillips or Jerry Jones? Jerry Jones, Patrick Creighton or Roy Williams? Roy Williams, Joey Porter or T.J. Hushmanzada? I would go with Hushmanzada because I'm afraid if you kill Joey Porter, he's going to come back stronger. Now, this is, who would you rather have live, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Ooh.
Tom Brady.
That's a tough one.
What?
Why is that so tough?
I gotta pick. Basically, the question is, who do you think is more responsible for the Patriots' success, Brady or Belichick? That's basically what it boils down to. Who do you think you couldn't live without? Yeah, most people think it's Belichick.
I'm going to go Brady. I'm going to go Brady.
I'll go Brady.
Now, Emmitt Smith or Bo Jackson? Emmitt Smith. I mean,
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson's already nuts. He'll be dead in 2 years anyway.
I got to listen to the guy said, bloon, blown, bleed,
that's because
blown,
Bo's
bleed.
Not on TV. Emmitt shouldn't be on
Bo
TV.
Bo is well spoken.
He's a fat slob. All right, Lucky, what do you got going on today?
Nothing much. I'm at work. That's about it.
What do you think about the Super Bowl? What's your pick on the game?
I'm picking the Pats, but I don't think I'm going to have like any friends over this time, because it seems like when I have people over, games are close, and my friends are Giants fans anyway, so I don't have to deal with them the whole game.
You gotta love Patriot fans. It's not that, we lose. It's that the games are too close. They're not winning by four touchdowns.
I don't think the game is going to be a blowout. With the Giants game, I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I have a lot of Giant friends who are Giant fans too, Lucky. Don't you hate them?
Yeah, you gotta hate them. I can't hate them because
I hate them.
I grew up around the Giants, so I mean I like the Giants, but you know I'm a Patriots fan, so I mean if the Giants was in the Super Bowl with somebody else, then I root for them. But they in the with the Patriots, somebody kidnap Manning, take Brandon Jacobs and the rest of them, Coughlin. They all just need to go on a trip somewhere and don't come back.
Well, I'm sure you can arrange that working for the government, yeah. Lucky. I mean, you get us free food, so.
Yeah, but see, I can't arrange that now because you just put me on the spot. So then now, you know, if something did happen to him, you know, and I remember that cat on the radio, his name was Lucky. Yeah, I'll be all messed up. So did y'all enjoy the San Diego game?
Yeah, it was all right.
Good game.
It was a lot different than
pretty much every other Patriots game this year. Like,
you don't have fans calling for Matt Castle out there, do you?
No, not yet. One guy, Artie in Boston, who thinks it's been a troubling trend with Brady over the last 3 years that he's bad in the postseason.
Wow.
Despite that he broke an all-time NFL record for any game, the previous playoff game, going 26 for 28.
Yeah. With two drops.
He skipped over that game in his troubling trend theory.
You ain't got any Giants fans talking about Brady's foot, do you?
Nah, I don't think Giant fans are going to be doing too much talking.
I hope not.
They're just happy to be there.
I hope the Giants start talking. I mean, give us a little bit more. I mean, it's not like we ain't got enough motivation. I think 19-0 in itself is maybe somebody will fill out a guarantee or something.
What's a greater motivation, Lucky? 19-0, like you just said, or not being 18-1, avoiding being the embarrassment?
That's both.
I think it's the same thing.
You can't have no. I mean,
see, I think the 18-1 embarrassment lasts longer than the 19-0 glory.
That lasts. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you can't lose. Losing is not an option.
Either way, we're either on top of the mountain or we just got thrown off of it.
Yep,
so
you're right.
Only you live.
There's no middle ground. It's either extreme high or extreme low. And trust me, I would rather be on that extreme high because I don't know what I'm going to do if they lose.
Well, we'll be here to comfort you, Lucky. We will be.
I'm going to be calling in. I won't be listening. No Patriots anything. I mean, I have to block it out. It'll take me like a couple months to get over it.
No, you got to listen to us.
No, I know what he's talking about, though. You don't want to hear from nothing. It's kind of like when Apollo, lost the title. He didn't want to hear from no one, not even his kids.
I don't want to hear anything about anything. No football or nothing. Maybe I'll watch the draft. That's about it.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, well, you'll be all right, Lucky.
You'll be back in time
thanks,
for the draft.
Speaking of which, all right. Now, I just wanted, maybe y'all guys, who the heck are we taking at number 7. I'm thinking we're going to trade, but I'm looking at all these mock drafts, and I know it's early and stuff, but I'm out. All the choices that they have for the mock draft, I don't see the Patriots taking any of them. I think they trade down, but it wouldn't it be kind of hard to trade down? I mean,
It's going to be tough. I mean,
it's a middle-heavy draft, not a top-heavy one, so finding someone willing to sell out to move up.
You know what's wrong with the Patriots? They're in between years. Next year, Mawaluga and those guys are coming out. They're not going to have a top draft pick. Last year, they could have taken, you know, Landry or someone like that. They didn't have a top draft pick. They have a top draft pick in the year. You don't want to have a top draft pick.
Yeah, but, they're the unluckiest franchise on the face of the planet. Hey, one last thing before we let you go, Lucky. Your boys were a little off this week. The flyover, not well-timed at Gillette Stadium. Tell them to practice a little.
Oh, I can't do nothing about that. I don't fly planes. I just fix them.
Maybe their accelerator was sticking and they couldn't get the burst they needed. Maybe it was your fault.
Maybe it was. I don't know. Well, actually, no, that wouldn't have been my fault either because I deal with the electronics, like all the radar and communications and stuff. Now, if it was... Maybe, you know, if they got the communication leak or when to go, then, you know, that'd be my problem.
Well, maybe that was it then.
I don't know. Why are you trying to blame it on me? Why can't it just be, you know, playing?
That's what he does, Lucky. That's what he does. He blames everything
Somebody's got to fall.
It's all right. It's okay, Andy. I know where you live.
All right, Lucky. Well, thanks for being a friend on our MySpace page, and we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I saw that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
We should throw that out there. MySpace.com/PFW in progress, all one word.
All right,
PFW unofficial MySpace page. Join it. Become a friend. We need to get more than 400 friends because we want to beat Lori, who has 400 creeps who are on her page.
Who cares about her? Shut up.
I do.
I think obviously.
You shut up.
Obviously, yeah. He does. I think you know.
Janice, sorry, guys. Tuned in late. Where's Fred today? Who cares? I mean,
why'd you read that? We got 100 emails and you read the where's Fred email?
Fred showed up for 20 minutes, 8, and then left. Something about a Super Bowl meeting.
Brace gets the boot.
He's in his office.
I guess Brady has the boot off now.
I don't know.
Gary shaking his head. Yes.
Okay. The I'm trying to read.
Now
this,
there's video of him with no boot.
See, so now I think that's ridiculous.
That's okay. So
clearly he went out there so he could get photographed without the boot on. Now.
All right. So the boot is off. The
How do we know this?
Off. It's out there. All right.
What does that mean?
Bill says I just went to MySpace page for PFW and I have a few comments about the pictures.
Uh-oh.
Figures the pictures of Paul's him being interviewed by Neckin. Paul, Neckin, and EEI aren't the big time, so try not to let it go to your head. Speaking of heads, I have to come to Andy's defense.
Yay!
His head isn't as big as everyone makes it sound. If you take the Henry Rollins neck that it sits on into consideration, it looks like a tree stump sticking out of his shirt. Tom, I have to say that you are one of my favorite people on the show. I made reference to your sourness in a previous email. You have every reason to be sour. You remind me of a cross between Paul Rubens and a little mini-me. Who's Paul Rubens?
Pee-wee Herman.
Oh, yeah, I love Pee-wee Herman. Eric, he doesn't look gay at all, not a bit. However, I could have sworn last time
I
was home.
You have a picture up there? No, I don't.
He says, however, I could have sworn last time I was home, I saw him in a beat-up old van handing out candy to little kids at a bus stop.
That's not right.
And most of all, I think it is perfect that Fred's picture is a giant question mark.
Well, I think
there may be more going on there than meets the eye.
Somebody must have put a picture up because the last time we were up there, there was a question mark on mine, too.
My guess is it was you.
My guess is they went to Scalavino.com and saw your ugly mug.
I think Eric probably put it up because he's an egomaniac.
Did you see in the background?
Yeah, Will McDonough.
Unbelievable.
I also see the guy with the crazy football hat right behind him.
I'm getting sick of Andy. Let's take a timeout here.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first-down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929. To get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Okay, we're back, baby. That's Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and Eric Scalavino. We got Vanilla Ice pumping in the background. Probably should do something we haven't done all show. Give out the email address and the phone number. That's webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Fred from Montreal is a regular, he said. He used to be. Do you guys know Fred?
Frederick, yes.
Okay, because I don't really remember.
Yep.
He says, "Hi, guys. Long time no write. The recent bandwagoners are overloading the show, leaving less opportunity for the long-timers like me. Anyway, what do you think the San Diego defense was doing to significantly bother Brady like the Miami defense of years past? I also don't think the Pats are likely to cover the spread against the Giants. Why is the number so high when they have mostly not covered the last half of the season? Thanks for the great show."
What did San Diego do? I don't know.
They jammed the receivers. They didn't do that last time.
Yeah. Well,
last time they played them, they were about 15 yards off.
And they got physical. There's no question. I think Quentin Jammer played very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just flat out, you know, winning one-on-one battles in that case.
And they confused him a little. Tom Brady admitted to being a little confused a couple times.
He explained
and
how they
in
were
in between.
And Bill explained that also on his appearance yesterday that I talked about earlier. Zone looks that they ended up playing man and vice versa, and you know.
And I think on that the Stallworth one, I think Stallworth was like reading a comeback, some sort of a comeback throw, and Brady wasn't, and that's why there was Stallworth couldn't even get back to make a play on the ball because he was heading back towards the line of scrimmage, and I think that's what he was talking about. The two read something differently and weren't on the same page,
right? And
that's the one thing people don't.
I disagree.
This offense is all every route almost isn't a flat out you run the seven. It's almost every single route these guys run, there's a read involved. And I've always said this. I think it's the most amazing thing in football that the receiver who's way out there and the quarterback over here in the course of 3 seconds read the exact same thing and get it. I think that's hard to do. And we've seen guys like Donald Hayes and others come in here and not be able to do it. But, I mean, so much of what they do is read-related in this offense, adjustments.
Yeah, so I just think that it was a combination of those kind of factors. And then you can't dismiss – Tom was a little bit off.
Right.
You know, he had some throws to open guys that he missed. He had some completions that weren't very well thrown. There were also a couple of drops mixed in here. Mm-hmm. Moss dropped a very easy pass. Welker had one go right through his hands on a third down. You know, Stallworth had one go off his hands that ended up getting picked off. It wasn't necessarily a great throw. But I think sometimes you combine a lot of factors that weren't really working in conjunction with a good passing game, and all of a sudden you look at it and he threw three picks.
Right.
Okay, they did add a picture. He says, James says his insider at the Patriots kindly emailed me a picture, but I still have yet to receive one of Fred. So I got a feeling
your insider at the Patriots.
We know who the insider is. There's something we should,
have a picture of
Fred?
Well,
Stripper says he was the first person to predict the perfect season. My blog on MySpace, after we signed Stallworth, I proclaimed this as champs. Patriots signed Stallworth. Don't even bother playing out 2007. Pats will win Super Bowl. You and a thousand other Patriots.
Doesn't say perfect in there, though. It only says win Super Bowl. Plus, I didn't see 19-0 in there.
And I know that Strippers is having some fun and stuff, but they didn't clinch the Super Bowl when they signed Stallworth.
Right, yeah.
No. It's a little bit later than that.
April 29th.
Well, but Stallworth knew that Moss was already coming.
Right.
He knew back in February when he was in the North End or something having dinner.
Yeah, but you brought up that play with Stallworth down the sideline, and I saw that exactly the way you just described it. I've seen a lot of criticism of Stallworth on that in print that I don't necessarily think is – now, he may have been the one that misread it and therefore ran the wrong route. That's a possibility, but I don't think he could have done anything to break up that interception. He stopped to come back for the ball. And the throw was on the other side.
But it wasn't. People like to say he lacks football instincts. He didn't try to make. He read something differently. Now, you're right. Who read it wrong? Brady?
He may have been the one. No idea. Matter of fact, I'll be consistent with that. Generally, when it looks like the quarterback and receiver aren't on the same page, I'm the quarterback apologist, particularly when Brady's involved. I'm going to guess the receiver.
I'm saying Brady was wrong. Because I think Stallworth was open for a comeback. Brian from Honolulu says, watching Tomlinson's behavior on Sunday reminded me of Nomar's last game in Yankee Stadium as the Red Sox, when all his teammates were on the top step and Nomar sat on the bench with his arms crossed, pouting.
And what made it worse, Derek Jeter was diving 17 rows into the stands, just like Philip Rivers was putting his knee on the line and tearing his ACL. There was an exact opposite end of the spectrum right near him.
Very good analogy, because he also could have played and didn't make himself available to pinch hit. That was the big thing.
Don't think LT will be traded.
No. One thing we have not talked about is the Seymour thing with Nick Hardwick, the comments he made. And this is Andrew. He said, I've not heard anyone mention that the charger who went off about Seymour had a scuffle with Seymour out on the field just before the coin toss. I was at the game and someone next to me pointed it out to me on the field. They had to be separated. Did you guys see or hear that? I'm guessing that this goes back to last year. Seymour was not there for the first game this year. Do you recall anything between these two from the game last year? Tell Fred the gloves are awesome. I don't know what that means, but...
Gloves are awesome? Now Fred's just sending...
It was a different player Seymour was involved with.
It was Marcus McNeil.
Before the game, he got involved in a spat with Marcus McNeil. Nick Hardwick was the guy who said that he was a dirty player. So it was two different guys.
Yeah, and here's my whole thing on it. The Patriots do whatever it takes to win. They'll bite you, they'll scratch you, they'll kick you in you know where. You do the same thing. I'm sick of hearing, like, well, he stepped on our toes. Step on his.
Right.
Why doesn't someone come in here and say, it's kind of like the Mike Tyson thing. Well, he was a bully, and Buster Douglas said I had to bully him, so I was elbowing him in the face. I was hitting him after the bell. You got to do that to the Patriots, because God knows Harrison's doing it. You know, those guys play that way. They will do anything it takes to win a football game.
And Paul and I were talking about this upstairs. I also think the stuff that he's accused of, while... I guess you call it dirty, to me is not the same as what Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not poking somebody in the eye.
Was trying to take an eye out. Vince Wilfork was trying to take a knee out. Mm-hmm. If you think that was intentional against J.P. Lossman, those are stepping on a guy's toe, a head slap. Those are all things that take place every play in the trenches.
Yeah, kick him between the legs if you don't like it.
And knee him in the nuts.
And there is an aspect of dirty play, but I do think it's a little bit different than some of the stuff that Andy was just mentioning.
Yeah. For him to come out and, like, retaliate on the field.
Right.
You know, Dick Butkus said he used to give up touchdowns sometimes because he was so busy trying to retaliate on someone that blocked him low. And he said in the end it would work out because one hit to the head with my forearm and we wouldn't have to worry about him anymore. That's the way people used to play football. Take care of it on the field.
And the other thing, too, is I think that we need to stop rushing to the defense of the dirty Chargers with the Patriots, because I think we've seen enough visual evidence to say that the opponents aren't all lying. We've seen it. You know, we saw Seymour needlessly brush into Rivers, even though it was a slight little bump and Rivers took a flop and didn't get the call.
That's it could be a 15-yard penalty.
It was just a dumb play, and there was no reason to do it other than you're trying to be chippy.
Right. Eric says, Casale, you suck, in the headline. Then he said, did this get me ahead in line? Well, actually, you're the first email, so that's why I'm reading it. Why are the talking heads picking the Patriots handily over the Giants? Didn't Eli throw for four TDs against the Pats in Week 17? Did our secondary get that much better in two games since? With the running tandem of Jacobs and Bradshaw and the play action they provide, Manning should be able to do the same thing again. Well, the one thing that, Andy, that we talked, the guy from the Post was on Felger. I don't remember his name, New York Post. Was on Felger.
Ralph Facciano?
So. Yeah, was on Felger. I thought he made a very interesting point about the Jeremy Shockey not being there, because Shockey came back to the huddle all the time and said, I'm open, you got to get me the ball. He felt that put too much pressure on Eli to go directly to him. And since Shockey has left the lineup, Eli has played a lot better. So I do think that, and I think we all probably think this, that the Giants will move the ball effectively. It's the Patriots are probably going to move it more and score more.
Well, I think the two reasons people point to if you're predicting a pretty easy victory are warm weather, getting the offense back to a controlled warm weather environment. And I think people generally fall in line with, if Bill Belichick plays a team within the course of a month and then has 2 weeks to prepare, he's going to have them broken down to the smallest weakness and be ready to expose whatever they may have that's worth exposing. And I think those are the arguments.
And two other things to add to that. Brady hardly ever has two bad games in a row, especially when he has three or more picks.
He's not having a bad Super Bowl.
He's not having a bad Super Bowl.
If he plays.
And Randy Moss has caught two passes total in the postseason. I think that's going to change in the Super
Bowl. Well, I think that's the warm weather thing. I think we've been proven that Randy Moss doesn't
like the cold. He doesn't. You can go through his entire history and look at it. He does not like to play in the cold. There's nothing you can say.
Well, nor should anyone, by the way.
But it's not like it's going to be 70 degrees in that Super Bowl either. I mean,
but it is indoors, so it's a controlled environment.
All right. Yeah. All right. I forgot about that. I did forget about that.
It's in Arizona. Okay? It's not going to snow.
And plus, worst it could be would be like 50, 55.
We're talking about zero.
I agree with you. Talking about freaking cold. Point, I'm expecting him to have a much more productive Super Bowl.
The Strippers wants to know, will Maroney get 100 yards or more against the Giants?
Yes. I go with trends. 4 out of 5, I get a chance.
I'm not going to say no. I think they're gonna spread them out, throw it all over the place.
And not because he won't be able to physically to get those yards. I just think they're going to pass more in this game, and he probably
I'm
going to
go with
touches.
a buck 22.
I also thought the Giants did a good job of corralling him in that last game.
Yeah, they did.
And even though I think that Maroney ran really hard that night, as we pointed out a million times, he only had 40-something yards.
Okay, Paul says, hi, guys. I was just interested in what you thought in the performance of the offensive line, especially Logan Mankins. I thought he had a great game. He wrote, she's a beast. I think he meant to say he's a beast.
I bet you wouldn't say that to him, because he would kill you.
Also, another question for Tom. I just heard Lucky mention the draft, and a lot of them have us drafting Dan Connor. I wanted to know what you thought of him, and we don't really get any college games here in England. Thanks for the great work you do, except as we all know, who we all know brings the show down but gets the gay listeners.
I read something yesterday that had him being a late first round pick.
I wouldn't touch him with the seventh pick if you paid me. I know that much. So, I got to be honest with you, I haven't seen too many people I touch at seven. So it's basically going to be...
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
I just like to keep my hands off of guys in general, but...
Don't the Cowboys still have two first-rounders, Tom?
Yeah, they're later on in the...
Don't you think that might be a possibility for a trade?
Everyone keeps saying that, but it's not like McFadden's going to be there at seven, most likely. You know what I mean? And that's the guy they're supposed to love. So, I don't know. Anything Jerry Jones does will be wrong.
Yeah,
and
maybe if McFadden slips, he's one of those guys, but that's one of those trades that would happen... Right at the moment where somebody slips that somebody wants.
Right. And I think the offensive line played great. I think Mankins is a beast.
Phenomenal. And Stephen Neal. Everyone forgets that he's been injured all year and hasn't played. I really don't think it's a coincidence that he comes back and they're having their best job running the ball the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's been getting downfield a lot. With
him and the tight ends, Brady. I mean, they now have their big blockers in front of them, a lot of whom they've been missing for parts of the year. And one final piece of advice, don't call Logan Mankin sheep.
Yeah.
He has cowboy boots on and he'll stomp on your throat.
Warren says, do you guys think Merriweather is ready to start next year? I'm impressed by him this year, although he's had little playing time. And what did you guys think of Cromartie imitating Moss's celebration and Gaffney doing the lights out dance? I like both of them.
Gaffney. Yeah. I didn't see the Cromartie.
I didn't see the Cromartie one either.
Cromartie, when he intercepted it, he did the Moss.
Good. I like it.
Well, you know. So
that's fine.
Turnabout is fair
play. You got to have confidence. You got to be willing to lay it out there.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Ken in Canton. Gentlemen and Andy. When you were talking about comparing the Pats Giants matchup with other years, the one that pops up to me is comparing the 85 Pats with this year's Giants. Both teams went on the road to win three playoff games, only to face the dominant team of the league that year. I also think you will see a similar result. Yeah, if you're going to get the – now, keep in mind, the Patriots, with 11 minutes in the fourth quarter, had 41 yards of total offense before the Bears finally called off the dogs. 41 in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get whooped that bad, and I thought PTI made a good point about who's the best team ever. They said they don't think the Patriots are as dominant as that Bears team, but if you go 19-0, you're the best. That trumps dominance, and I agree with them.
Sure.
Because the Bears' dominance came later in the year, in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl. While the Patriots' dominance may not have been in the playoffs, you go 19-0, you're going to be the best ever. Someone emailed in, Paul, saying that the analogy to the Giants is more like the 85 Patriots won three games on the road, then played the dominant team in the NFL that season and got blitzed.
Sure.
And
so, therefore, Vince Wilfork should score a touchdown.
On a fullback dive? Yeah.
No, it's going to be Seau.
That could work.
Be Junior Seau.
That's funny.
That's a good
idea. I want to see Vince Wilfork carrying the ball. Big fat guy. Mm.
Okay. Oh, and I should mention, my father, a Giant fan of close to 40 years, is rooting for the Patriots. He says he wants to see me win the Super Bowl. So speaking of my father,
you getting a share?
You know how parents are. Speaking of my father, I didn't get a chance to talk to him yet. I talked to my mother last night, and she's like, your father. She's like, from the second the game started till it ended, he wouldn't shut up. He was yelling. He was screaming.
He must have been so nervous.
So I said, well, what does he think? You know, because Tom Coughlin's in the Super Bowl, and he hates Coughlin. And my mother said, right after the game, he turned to me and said, I told you they were a good team. So my father blamed me. They're there
that's
despite.
His, that's his justification for all the grief he's given Coughlin. He knew they had the talent all along.
So my father rooting for the Patriots.
We also should point out, as Gary has mentioned, this is our last week here at the stadium with the full schedule. So we have one opening left. These are going quick. We have one opening left for lunch buying. That's on Thursday.
Thursday afternoon.
We are booked Wednesday. We are open. We're booked Wednesday.
We're booked Friday.
Then we'll be down in Arizona, and we don't need any help there.
We should say that the Thursday person who sends lunch moves to the top of the line for second behind. Who's the guy who gets it all the time? Is that Chris from the
Bronx? Chris in the Bronx.
Chris in the Bronx.
There's actually a few guys that get it a lot.
Yeah,
Chris
those
is buying Friday.
Chris is at the top of the line. He's gotten it like 6-7 times for us. But you get it on Thursday, you move right up to the top of the line for the tour with Fred. So
email Gary.
That's the last
That's the last one. We only have Thursday, and then we'll be in our off-season routine when we get back from the Super
Email
Bowl,
Gary if you want to be part of a perfect season, a little tie-in.
We may have a change in the off-season schedule to announce. We'll wait till we get back from Arizona before we finalize that, but we might have some changes in the works for the off-season.
Craig's going to be on every day?
No, it definitely will not be that, Andy.
And our word for the last 15 minutes is, blank willow. Blank willow. Steven says the Giants hype is in full effect. He says, I realize the media is hyping the Giants so people actually watch the game before the Patriots put the hurt on them. But here are some overlooked things as the media tries to hype the Giants to Super Bowl victory. Steven Neal and Nick Kazier didn't play. The Giants suck after the bye week. Pats are great after the bye week. The Giants won 10 consecutive road games. The Pats have not lost all year, 18 and counting. The weather is not going to be a factor like it was in Week 17 against the Packers. Tom Coughlin, ultra-conservative at the end of games, giving Dallas two chances to score at the end of the game, playing for a 47-yard field goal, and his kicker missed the shortest ones. Go ahead, Tom, rip me apart. I'm not going to rip you apart.
I think we all think the Patriots are going to win the game. The Super Bowl hype is different.
That's going to happen.
Everybody thinks the Patriots are the prohibitive favorites to win this game. So let's please stop with the Giants hype machine and, people doubting the Patriots and all that. I mean, I've seen more feel-good, over-the-top stories about the Patriots and whatnot than you could possibly imagine. So evidently the contest is over.
You can stop calling and emailing. We have filled Thursday's lunch slot.
What do we got? So much for the latency of the internet.
But if you would like to get us for the offseason, Gary is always, he can book you. He's got a calendar and Excel spreadsheet now.
Yep.
So you email,
Look,
call
already,
him.
He's already working the phones as we speak.
He'll lay you out on a weekly basis.
He's on the keyboard.
Yes, he'd be happy to contact you if you do want to join us in the offseason. Not quite the glitz and glamour of a pre-Super Bowl lunch, but you can get it done.
You know, this is one of those things. The Super Bowl is a great has a great dynamic to it. Every year, no matter how lopsided it seems, by the time you get done with that 2 weeks.
So you're saying there's a chance.
You've seen every angle there could possibly be, and you're convincing yourself of why the other team could do 6-7 things that can cause the prohibitive favorite trouble.
And you don't have to reach, I don't think, for the Giants. No. They can run the ball.
They showed that. They just played three weeks ago. They have
a pass rush. They could put pressure with just their front four. Everybody likes to say, if you're going to put pressure on Brady, you got to do it with the front four. I mean, there's aspects there that you go, yeah, they got a big play receiver that can take advantage of the secondary. It's there.
It is there. Okay, Andy, you'll get a kick out of this. Strippers writes, this is what I wrote on May 3rd, 2006. Patriots kick ass in this year's draft. We will win 4 Super Bowls out of 6 years. Don't worry about the D. Belichick can scheme any D to be top 5 in the league. Now Brady has more weapons with Maroney, Jackson, Mills, and Thomas. Well, that blog sounds comical. Maybe we'll have to check that out. Okay, we have
no more comical than ours.
Yeah, that's true. David in Tempe, who we got some information.
Yes.
He said, unless you're planning to pitch a tent in camp, bugs and snakes won't be a problem. It's so hot here in the summer that houses are basically sealed up airtight so that the heat can't seep in. As far as strip clubs, Strippers is on the money. The Pussycat Lounge, owned by Jenna Jameson, is the best and should be even better during the Super Bowl week. If you'd like to know places to eat and stuff to do, I can get you more info if you want in a longer email that I don't have time to write right now.
Only place you're going to be pitching the tent is at Club Jenna, right?
Good
hey,
one.
Oh.
The only thing I need in terms of more information is the rules of the strip club. I need to know if it's a look but don't touch or if it's interactive.
I'm going to say it as nicely as I can. I'm looking for one of those strip clubs like in New York when you get the massage from the Asian woman. That's what I'm looking for.
Like so in Houston.
Yes. Email me in because I have no problem saying it right now. I am going to get the, what do they call it? The
happy ending.
I'll get the happy ending. I'll get a divorce. I don't care. I'm sick of being married.
Hey, Tom, the Phoenix tourism website has a list of,
strip clubs?
They do have that. That's an option on there.
I want to know where I can go for the action.
That's what we need to know.
I don't want to look. I want to touch.
We need to know the rules. Reciprocatory needs, I think that's the word, needs to be a part of the
work. You won't do nothing.
Okay.
You ain't doing nothing. I
love Houston.
You do something, I'll pay for it.
I'm getting a freebie.
Steven, I believe, from Portland is on the line. Steven, what's up?
Hey, not much. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Is no Fred today?
No Fred.
Oh, geez.
Fred pulled an LT on us.
Couldn't handle the stress of the weekend or what?
No.
It's too much for him.
He tried to go, but he couldn't do it.
Played the first 5 minutes of the show and then left.
Okay. Well, I haven't got a chance to listen to that. I'm actually still on the Thursday podcast, for God's sake. So
Jesus,
I haven't
heard
of Mercury Morris.
Jeez, catch up. Yeah, you didn't miss much with Mercury Morris. Go right to his last sentence. That's the only entertaining part of the interview.
Oh, okay, I'll do that. Hey, so I really thought the game wasn't as close as the score indicated, and I don't know if you guys have really talked about that, but I don't know, Brady throwing those bizarre picks was just gave them some type of hope. But
well, Steven, they were inside the 10 three times.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think it was closer than the score
indicated.
If they scored touchdowns, they might have won.
Yeah, but I don't know. I watched it again last night, especially that second half, and I just was like, jeez, they really dominated that second half of the clock and all that stuff, but just those two interceptions just...
That last drive was dominant, obviously, taking the 9 minutes off the clock, but they were winning. They had the lead pretty much the whole game, but I felt like when I'm watching that game in the press box, my feeling was that they were losing the game, even though the scoreboard indicated otherwise. I kept thinking, man, these guys are losing this game.
The reason I think the game was closer than the score is because I think the Patriots did things that really they haven't been able to do on a consistent basis all year, and that's come up huge in the red zone, which with the exception of a late season stretch where about nine trips from the Pittsburgh game to like the Giants game, they were great. But throughout the rest of the year, they were very inconsistent in the red zone. and you know, the power running game, which we haven't really seen a whole lot of, that's how you won this game. And that's why I thought the game was actually closer than the score indicated. If San Diego somehow finds a way, as Tom pointed out, to get in the end zone there in midway through the third quarter and take the lead, that whole game changes. Patriots made all the plays, and they deserve to win, and that's why they're moving on.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I was rewatching the game, but it just the way they dominated that clock and the time of possession in the second half, they just, I mean.
It might just be that you're a Patriots fan.
Could be. You know, Paul said, I don't know, somewhere around week 5 or 6, actually, and I kind of took his advice, of all things.
He said,
I think as Patriot fans, you should sit back and relax and enjoy this season and not nitpick so much, because this is going to be a very special season. And I kind of started to relax and just kind of watch the games and just kind of enjoy it. And I really had a good time watching the games this year. I tried to get everywhere I could, you know, because they don't show them all out here, you know, because you got the Seahawks up close and stuff like that. And they have to show Oakland and Denver for some ungodly reason, like they were any good.
Luckily, you didn't take his advice to get fat and lose hair.
I'm already fat and losing hair, so I'm in his club.
Oh, so you're like Paul.
I just wish I took my own advice.
All right, guys, have a good day.
All right,
okay?
Take care. Thanks. The Danian Tomlinson will not need surgery.
Will not need surgery. He'll be okay.
Wow. Neither will I.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm getting those perfect pull-up things. I'll have those by the end of the month. I love that. That thing looks great.
Have you seen the ab hanger part?
The push-up one, too?
Yeah. I like the things because you can do so many different exercises. I'll have both of those,
and you can do a nice little workout in your office or spare bedroom or whatever. But how does it attach to the wall? I didn't really get.
There's like a thing.
Is it actually bolted into the wall or?
No, we'll talk. I didn't really see it all. Strippers. The dirty strip club is Bourbon Street Circus.
Well, how dirty? Because I don't want to go dirty.
Yeah, because he writes, but remember, Phoenix is slummy.
Oh, no. I'm out of that.
The strippers, we're looking for one of them high-end places. I'll pay, baby. I'll pay.
I want hot girls that are dirty.
Yeah. Where do you get
those?
Not
dirty places.
Where do you get those?
And I don't mean dirty in a what stinks kind of way. I mean dirty in a they'll do things.
Andy, did you say they shipped the good girls to wherever the Super Bowl
is? In Houston, they were shipping girls in from Atlanta and Las Vegas. That's why, as the week went on, the cover charge went from like 20 to 120. That's why we got to hit it early.
Yeah, Monday, I was going to say, I'll pay 20 and I'll take what I can get.
I got to hit it early because I think Beth is coming down later in the week. I don't think I'll be doing any of that when she's around.
This is Dan. From Charlottesville, he says, thoughts from the weekend. Norv Turner's decision to punt from inside the Pats' 40-yard line with 9:30 left was indicative of his historically average coaching ability. Kevin Falk is the most underrated talent in the NFL at the running back position. When Maroney hits the hole as hard as he's able to, I don't think there's another back in the NFL that can do it faster or quicker.
Now he's the best back in the NFL?
Apparently. I love to see him get the ball and take
Peterson.
Off. LT needs to take his helmet off and be a man. Don't tell me the helmet, which is fitted with a darkly tinted visor, was being worn for warmth. If you are a true leader of the team, you need to stand right next to your coach, be involved in every sideline meeting with Rivers during timeouts, and influence something to do with the game. The Chargers didn't do anything this season to refute their constantly growing reputation as the team that has more excuses than wins. Nick Hardwick sounds like a little baby whose Baba was just taken away. The Giants will be tougher than some people think. Somehow Eli has played a better postseason than Peyton, and Burris is as hard to cover as anyone. So he's thinking a tough game.
If you're a Giants fan, do you have confidence in Eli Manning?
I think you're cautiously optimistic, and you're hoping that he can keep his run going. It's 4 games now. You know, that's a quarter of a season.
More confidence. Lawrence Maroney is what he's been over the last month as a running back, or Eli Manning is what he is over the last month as a quarterback.
I think that's a coin flip.
That's a toss-up.
What do you
that
think?
Didn't really elicit a conversation that I thought it might.
that perfect pull-ups commercial's back.
Yeah, I'm enthralled with that.
I got to give you a set of that.
I like how they also have like Jack LaLanne doing it. You know, the guy's ripped out of his mind.
I tell you what, I feel better about Maroney being who he is than Eli being who he is. I mean, it's pretty hard to keep that run going that Eli's been on. And I think we've come to see from Maroney what we always thought we were going to see from him, and the offensive line is blocking better. I think New York is on some sort of miracle run here, because I have had them losing every game for the past month and a half.
Well, Eli
now.
Was the number one overall
pick. Well, that
would
explain.
Yeah, he so, that he, so that means they're on a miracle run. The guy who choked
run.
Away the season lead at the,
that's true.
The final week.
But anyway, I feel more confident with Maroney at this
point. I would too.
Paul.
Strippers wrote us,
I think it's a coin flip.
Strippers wrote us back, but wrote in big letters, "Dude, don't say this on the air." so say it.
Forward that email.
Bourbon dancers are more touchy, and what are they hot? They do something to you. Head. Yeah. Nice. Are they hot strippers? I mean, what do we got here?
What
do we got?
What?
Gary's
got me
emails. Breaking news.
Oh, this is the one you just read.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we need
the
to know.
The one that had big letters
that
don't read.
Do not read.
We need to know. Well, we're already past the point. We only got 5 minutes left in the show. What the heck? We need to know, like, we want a little quality. It doesn't have to
right.
be the best in the world. But
plus, we need something that's close to the hotel.
Yeah,
right?
Bourbon Street. I don't even know where that is.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of reading emails. Why don't you guys talk about something?
Guy runs out of gas with 5 minutes to go. Basically needs to read two more emails.
How about franchising Moss and transitioning Samuel? Unless the Samuel deal is unthinkable and the Pats should match it. This is Fred. He wants to know if
I don't think
Kirsch?
They can do that with Samuel. I mean, I think that they've agreed to
That'd
let
be
him
dirty
become
pool,
a,
huh?
But I think they, you know, for all I know, that they've agreed not to
right use a tag,
yeah. Right.
Yeah, it would be. It would
but
be,
it would be dirty pool if they agreed on a franchise and transition.
Said, "Well, we didn't franchise you."
Well, I got bad news for you, boys. Looks like we're heading to the Pro Bowl now too. This is Brian from Honolulu. Honolulu boasts more than 100 clubs, plenty of Asian girls. Everything is negotiable. I will provide more details if you make the trip. And strippers.
No disrespect to
we
the
won't
Oriental.
Be making the
trip. Strippers replies, "Yes, hot enough."
Okay. Interesting. Well, we'll keep that in mind. Bourbons. I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
Okay.
What was the
you're
other part
trouble.
Of that email? You already deleted
I
it,
need
huh?
need money.
Yeah.
You got to take a loan out to
the
go
first
to
part? What was the first part?
I don't recall. Next email. Sorry, emailer.
This is Mish. Rhymes with quiche, he says, from Montreal. From the quotes after the game, the defense seems
like
pretty pleased with itself. Keeping the Chargers out of the end zone was key with Brady's off game, and they did that. But going into the Super Bowl, are we supposed to feel better or worse after that game? That offense wasn't nearly 100% and gashed our secondary. Should we be concerned?
Sure. I've been concerned about the defense all year.
I think you can look at it that way, but the flip side is that's the one time, really, all year the offense was kind of sloppy and turned the ball over on a consistent basis. And what are the odds are that's going to happen two games in a row?
In previous years, the Pats' defense had always been the bend-but-don't-break defense. Well, that's what we saw in the last game. They bent all the way up and down the field, and then they didn't break in the red
zone.
But
I'm going to go on the other the previous 17 games and say if they let themselves get in that position again consistently, they're going to break more often than not.
And I just think looking at some of the specific plays, if Antonio Gates is more than 10%, is Teddy Bruschi right there to knock the ball away, or is Teddy Bruschi not anywhere near him? And I think they also got fortunate where they called basically a run blitz into a run on the Michael Turner play that Seau made. So
great.
There's some
I mean, it turned out
good
to be a
fortune
great call.
There. Right, it was a tremendous call, and I like how Seau laughs about it. I don't know whether he called it because he sniffed something out or he knew I was going to shoot the gap anyway, and you might as well call the play and tell me to do it. But I
so he doesn't listen?
Good, right. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happened on last year when he got in trouble with Pepper Johnson.
Right.
They had an altercation at practice.
Which made me laugh when he said somebody asked him last week, what's the difference between you now and 10 or 15 years ago? And I was wild, undisciplined, and I'm thinking.
I would have said, no,
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 no
the what's
difference?
The difference?
I didn't ask you to describe yourself then and
I had
now.
A big ego.
Let me tell you this.
I didn't know anybody's name, and I called everybody buddy.
Preacher. Speaking of big egos, John Rook is here, thank God. I don't got anything left in the tank, John. Nothing.
He hasn't even taken his coat off yet, and you're turning the show over to him.
And he's ripping him.
What do you think about the big matchup here, the Giants?
Your mic's not on. Gary!
Hello.
Okay, he's on.
It's on now. Honestly, I think if I'm a Giants fan, I'm more concerned about how your team gacked up a 10-point lead late in the ball game than I would be with staying 3 points of the Patriots. Then when you think about it, you break it right down again. It was a 10-point lead until they scored late in the game, right? Correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
They had an onside kick at the end.
Yep. So, I mean, the Patriots 22-1 had a 10-point lead on the road after being down by double digits. I'd be a little bit concerned, I think, if I were the Giants and the Giants fans. Sure. Absolutely. That's how I kind of look
at it. You think it's going to be a blowout?
I don't think anything will be a blowout that the Patriots do in the Super Bowl. You know, I don't know if it's just because they've won the other three by 3 points each. I don't know. I just – something tells me I don't see it. I don't know if –
they're going to win this one by more than three, though.
I think they'll win it by more than three, but I don't think it'll be a blowout.
You don't think the offense gets back to the nice controlled environment, warm weather, dome,
no.
Quick turf, Randy Moss, big
no, I
plays?
Think the Giants will, I think the Giants will give them everything and then some that they want. I just don't know that the Giants have enough personnel-wise to be able to match up. I mean, you can take away certain things. You can't take away everything. You can't do it. And so the Patriots will find, it may take them three quarters to get there, kind of like it did in the Meadowlands, but it will. They will find a way to eventually, you know, do whatever they need to do to get the answer. At least that's how I kind of look at it from this vantage point. It's kind of like, you know, well, there's the 2 weeks. It's all done now. Can we just go ahead and kick it off?
Now, the question on all the fans' mind, John, do you get to go to Arizona and do the PA at the University of Phoenix Stadium and yell out first down for the, you know,
no.
That's a Patriots first down?
No, I don't.
Well, then I think it's going to be down to the wire, three-point game at best.
Who gets that gig?
I'm assuming
the Cardinals
whoever does the public address at University of Phoenix.
So if
Stadium.
They ever
Although,
got a Super Bowl here, you
I know
do
that
it.
As of I think as of a couple of years ago, I believe the NFL hires the person
Michael
to do
Buffer.
This. No, the guy that used to Michael do it at least did it for several years in a row was Paul Olden. He used
Never
to
heard
be the voice of the Jets.
Never heard.
And because he worked in New York like and obviously had some contacts within the NFL legal office, I believe they hired him to do several in a row.
So it's not how good you are, it's who you know.
No, I think you've got to be hired by the NFL.
Sons
of bitches.
It's all politics. It's never about talent.
So, you know, if Gary would, you know, maybe take care of me and, you know, pass me on.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Then you got no chance.
Let's end with two final emails. Matt from Quincy says, Z, hey, it's Show Killer Rook.
nice.
And David, we're getting conflicting reports from Arizona now. David from Tempe says about the Bourbon Street Circus. If you go there, get car rental insurance because your car may not be there when you leave.
Yeah, I'm so, not going to the Bourbon place.
So the John Rook Show is next. We will see you tomorrow. Take care.